Perfect, everyone. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everybody can hear me clearly with these headphones. As we're currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in an item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councillors considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure that your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. I would ask members to refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Now, firstly, Sarah, can you advise me of any apologies for this evening?
We haven't received any apologies.
Okay, thanks very much, Sarah. Have we got any additional apologies from the floor there, from members?
Can I apologise for Councillor Hannah, and I'd have to leave early.
Okay, Billy, thank you very much. Okay, folks, we'll move on then to Chairman's remarks. And the first thing on the agenda for myself here is COVID-19. As all members here know, we are in a quite a dangerous place. I want to thank members, community groups, the local media and the wider public for supporting our communications drive over the weekend to get the message out there. But we must keep that momentum up. The next few days are particularly crucial. Thank you to all of those in the district who have been following the guidance. And for those that haven't, you know, as I said over the weekend, this virus can kill and does kill. Wash your hands, keep your distance, download the app and wear a mask. We all know what we should be doing, and it's imperative that we continue doing so. Okay, now I want to pay tribute to a number of citizens who have lost their lives since the last time that we met. I want to pass on the condolences of our council to our own colleague John Traynor on the death of his father, John Senior. John's wife Anne was a former councillor in the Legacy Down area, and the whole family have given so much to our local area by way of community activism, and the thoughts of our council are with you all. In recent weeks, our community has lost two females, young females, Maria Robinson, who was deputy head girl from Our Ladies in Newry, and a young girl, Ellie McDonald, a 12-year-old pupil from Down High School in Downpatrick. My thoughts are with their families, friends and school communities at such a difficult time. Then also Noel Musson from Burn, who passed away. Noel received a Chairman's Award from the Council for his services to the community last year, so condolences to the wider Musson family. I now want to praise a young 16-year-old man from Castlewellan, Darren McNulty, who has been awarded the 2020 Wainwright Prize for Nature Writing, an outstanding achievement for this young man. Also, the Newcastle Glee Singers, huge congratulations to Suzanne Smith and Laura Kerr for their individual Ames Awards, I think it was the weekend before last, but also to the wider Glee family for the amazing production of Calamity Jane last Christmas. We're all really blessed with the talent that we have on our doorstep, and I suppose a number of us can't wait to be back in the Elsley Hall for their next production, whenever that time actually might be. We had a number of GAA achievements over the last number of weeks, and I was wanting to name a number of clubs, but I'm afraid I'll leave one club out, so I want to wish them all the best and well done on their achievements. I also want to take this opportunity to thank members. We're now into our fifth month conducting our meetings in this virtual format. I know it hasn't been easy, and I mean that from members, officers, chairs of committee and myself. So I want to thank everyone for their engagement, contributions and ultimately the respect that they have shown during these meetings, but also to remind members of our standing orders, and failure to adhere will result in a member being excluded from the meeting. This can be done at the touch of a button, so it's probably a bit easier now than it was even in a physical meeting. So I'd appeal to members to continue in the very good way that nearly all members have done to date, but want to reiterate that I won't tolerate business being interrupted as it was at the last council meeting. Now, before we get into the actual beef of the agenda, I'd like to welcome our Deputy Chairman, Harold McKee, back to our meeting of full council. The last number of weeks, I know, have been very tough for Harold and his family, but it's lovely to have you back. Two meetings, Harold, albeit in a virtual format, and we continue to wish you all the best in your recovery. And I know, Harold, you wanted to say a few words. You're very welcome to do so now.
You're on mute.
Sorry, I want to thank Laura for allowing me in, and also to thank Laura for the number of phone calls you made to my wife when I was unable to take calls. I didn't even know they were happening until I had been told. And also for the number of councillors who have even tonight, have raised my name and glad to see me back. And I'm also glad to be back amongst our people again. And also to the councillors who sent many a phone call and actually sent cards, and to everyone else who done likewise. This all happened on the 25th of August, and I'm quite sure most people from the Newry-Morne down will know the 25th of August because it was that very wet day in Newcastle. Now, all being my illness was unrelated to what happened in Newcastle that day. I was at work that day. I was on the hub of what happened that day. I was on the Bryansford Road whenever the floods came in, and we had to abandon a concrete job we were doing, and we had to make our way on a wee dumper thing out into Newcastle to the water to receive it again. But what I will say about that is also even to thank our own council emergency staff for how they handled the situation that day and the days leading up to it. And also for the departmental staff who done an excellent job supplying the sandbags and also removing those again. Just for those that maybe haven't known what actually happened to me, and I was told about a week and a half into my, while I was still in the Royal Victoria, I had a stroke in my cerebellum. Now, the cerebellum is a part in the back of your head, which in my part of my head actually clawed it. And it had actually left me for half an hour. I couldn't get out of a digger I was in because, as far as I was concerned, the digger was going around and I couldn't. So eventually, obviously, the digger was stopped and people managed me out. And an hour later, lying on the ground, what have you, they managed to get an ambulance for me and took me to Royal Victoria. And The cerebellum stroke, it only accounts for 2% of all strokes, but unfortunately I was one of those people to have to take that. And I can assure you it's not a nice place to be. And one thing about it, there is no division in politics or to anyone, any person. It can attack you at any age. And I know I'm older now too, but it did attack me too. And I don't know how long I have to live. Apparently, enough years off your life, the way things are. But I'm thankful for to be here and have no side effects other than trying to cope well. And it's a case of balancing my work and my brain to make me do things that I did similar. And I'm sort of building up on that. It's only 6 weeks tomorrow since that happened. So again, in my stay in that Royal Victoria Hospital, where many of the ones sang and danced and done all sorts of things on the street on a Thursday evening. But whenever you're in the hub of the National Health Service, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what colour of clothing that person wears, from the lightest blue to the white shirt of the senior doctor, they're all doing an excellent job. And I seen that, and I actually told them many a time, this must be the cleanest place in the world because of the work that they had done and the cleanliness. And despite that, COVID did manage to make its way in there apparently in the day and the evening I left, but thankfully I got home and safe enough. The other wee thing I'm going to say, I think it's very important when it does, when it can affect anyone. That cerebellum, it is a case of a dizziness and a blurredness that comes over your eyesight. And 15 months ago, I was taken to the Royal Victoria Hospital because I had a pain in the back of my head as if somebody hit me in the back of my head with a claw hammer for about 5 minutes. But they couldn't find anything that time, but obviously that was all related. So what I am saying to each and every one tonight, that should anybody have any insight of their visual has gone, their walking is not as it was, they have a pain somewhere in their head, don't wait until you come home from work. don't wait until you feel yourself you're right, because I was one of those people who felt that I was able to cope with this situation myself. I Googled it, and I found that vertigo was pointing to me in every direction, but the word that I was bypassing was the word stroke. And that word stroke was the one that could have done things different to me, but thankfully it hadn't. So, members, I think I've gone through everything I wanted to say. And again, thank you, Chair, for allowing me in and for all of the politicians who mentioned me. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Harold. I think 6 weeks from an episode like that and you're back to council, I think it's testament to the commitment you have to the council. So thanks very much, and we wish you well. Now, before we... Oh, yes, actually, just to point out to members as well, at 5.30 this evening, I received a request for an emergency notice of motion from Councillor Bowen regarding the Down A&E. This will be circulated to you all and will be dealt with at the end of the agenda and will require a suspension of standing orders or whatever we get to that point. That will be on down the agenda. Okay, now, there was three people looking in there with questions before we move on. I think Councillor O'Hare, you were in there first.
No, it was a wee mistake, Laura. Thank you.
No worries at all. That's perfect. Councillor Walker.
Thank you very much, Chair. And it was just in what you'd said earlier on in your opening remarks in relation to COVID. And that it is getting very worrying. And I want to make an appeal here. And I'm not being political. Right across the sporting fraternity, in that, you know, I have received a number of emails, a number of photoshots, a number of videos and that from recent GAA games where there's been thousands of people at them and that there, ones of them parading down the street and that. Is there anyone with any influence within that community that can maybe speak? Football and all, I haven't seen any where football and that has been breached and that, and it is very serious. There's been a major outbreak in Killyleagh over the last week, and it has been sourced back to a match that they were at, a couple of individuals.
Can I maybe interrupt you? I appreciate what you're saying there. I know there is a notice of motion on down the agenda about sort of COVID and prevention. I know it's going to be quite a lengthy agenda this evening, so maybe if we can keep the comments to then and maybe move on, if that's okay with you.
It's okay.
All right. Councillor Taylor, have you something separate to add, or what's your question about?
It's a bereavement. Could I also ask that the council acknowledge that there was a very tragic passing of a young girl from Newton Hamilton over the weekend in Newcastle upon Tyne, Jenny Larmour. Her family are from the Newton Hamilton area. Could I also ask that the council, acknowledge that and offer condolences, obviously, to the family? It's a very tragic case, and it's obviously came as a great shock to the local community, a young girl with her whole life ahead of her, and very tragically, it's been cut short. So I would just ask that the council also, take note and acknowledge that. Thank you, Chair.
Absolutely, David. Thank you for that. I'm sorry to hear that. It's devastating. Thank you. Yeah. Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, just briefly, just to concur with David Taylor, just the young girl, she had worked in the mace shop in Newtown, and I think everyone in Newtown knew her face, and it was just tragic what emerged over the weekend, so just to be associated with David Taylor's kind words.
Okay, thank you. Barra, Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair, I was just really to second those comments from Councillor Taylor and Councillor Murray. Very tragic incident. I'm a father of teenagers myself. I can't help but wonder how the family's coping at this time. Very tragic, and extend our deepest sympathies to the family.
Absolutely. Thank you, Councillor Savage. Okay, folks, if we can move on then to actually the body of the agenda. Have we any declarations of interest at this point?
Chairperson, on ERT, in relation to Greenways, I'd have to declare an interest as the Director of East Border Region, and I leave the meeting at the start of that discussion.
Okay, thank Terry, you. Thanks very much for that. That's great. Okay, if we move on to... Yes?
Chair, can I just, seeing as there's so much health, there's no point in me declaring at the start of every item, but I suppose I should probably declare as well that I work in Craigavon Area Hospital, not for Craigavon Hospital, but that's me just declaring an interest there. Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. Okay, so if we move on to the action sheet then, if we go through first in terms of accuracy, page 1 to 3, so page 1... Page 2, page 3, and have we a proposer and a seconder for the accuracy? Okay, proposed by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Savage, thank you. Okay, have we any matters arising from the action sheet? Okay, Thank you very much, folks. We move on then to the actual council meeting of the 7th of September. And again, if we can go through for accuracy, there's page 1 to 9. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. I think there's a proposal from Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Sharvin in terms of accuracy. Have we any matters arising? Okay, that's great. We'll move on then to the Minister Special Council meeting on the 2nd of September.
Sure, sorry for interrupting. Can I just, it's my fault, I should have declared, or Conor Mallon should have declared an interest on the item in relation to the appointment of directors within SPNR. So just for the record, Conor would have an interest.
Okay, thank you very much, Marie. Okay, then item 5 in terms of special council meeting on the 2nd of September. So in terms of accuracy, we have 4 pages there. So page 1, page 2, page 3 and page 4. We have a proposer by Councillor Gallagher and seconder by Councillor Burgess. Thank you, folks. Any matters arising on that one? Okay. If we move on then to item 6, which is the minutes of ERT back on the 14th of September. So in terms of accuracy, we have 14 pages, so bear with us. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14. I see, is this under accuracy? I think, Conor, you were looking in there first. Is that under accuracy or is it under matters arising?
It would be under matters arising, sir.
Okay, no worries at all. So we'll be taking then in terms of Councillor Mulgrew to propose and Councillor Stokes to second, if that's the case, for accuracy. And then in terms of matters arising, Conor, you're in first there.
Thanks, Chair. It's just to provide members an update. Since the committee meeting in September, I've had further approaches and correspondence with the Keys Shopping Centre. This is under, in respect of the lease of the Albert Basin. My recommendation is that I take away this information, review it, and bring a paper, an updated paper, back to ERT on the 12th of October to have this further considered by committee.
Okay, Conor, thank you for that update then. If I'm looking down the instant message, I know we've got a number of P's and S's. Is there anybody else looking in there on a point? Is that from Councillor Savage?
Councillor McKean's in. Sorry, Laura.
Oh, sorry, thank you, Sarah. Harold, sorry about that. Go on ahead there.
Yes, thanks, Laura. Just on the mountain biking there, now I know I'm going to mention quickly Tullymore Forest Park. I had a reason to be in there a couple of months ago, and we spent a good 2 hours in the practice area of the mountain bike area. It's about 35 metres square, and I still have humps and bumps, and it's great excitement and great fun. But one of the things I did pick out of it, at least on the day I was there, I don't know what day it was, but every day I was there, there was somewhere between 20 and 25 cyclists of entirely all ages. And I found that the wee ones who were just there, there was maybe say 10 of them who were just there for maybe the first time or second or third time, they were practically frightened because of the bigger lads who and girls who were able to handle those bikes, who most likely were moving on from there onto the mountain tracks. But it was quite a scary situation. So all I'm just going to ask, and maybe Mr. Patterson could pick up on that at a later date, is I was looking, there's a ground at a lower level and a gateway into it just right beside it, that if there was maybe to take a look at, and even if it was only half the size of what you see there, and make provision for those first timers, and it would safeguard them, their bicycles, and that fear factor, and maybe even allow the older one to do what they want to do on the track. Thank you.
Thank you. Harold, can I bring Conor in at that point?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Councillor McKee, we'll pick that up with Forest Service. Forest Service are responsible for Tullymore, but we're more than happy to pick that up with them and raise your concerns with them.
Thank you very much, Conor.
Thank you, Conor. Thanks, Harold. Councillor Savage, do you have a question there?
No, Chair, it was really to propose with Connor's to agree with Connor's proposal and propose it that we take it back to ERT. I think that's a positive development in relation to the car park at the Falbert Basin.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Have we any other matters arising there in terms of that second of our Councillor Clark? No. Okay, so we move on then to the minutes of FPNR on the 17th of September. We have 11 pages. We'll go through them one by one for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. Can we have a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposer, Councillor Jordan, thank you. A seconder? Councillor McGuinness, thanks very much. Councillor Savage, then, you have a question?
Yes, Chair, it relates to page 3 of the SPNR minutes relating to the assessment of performance 2019-20, the corporate plan 2020-2023, and in particular the civic centre element of that corporate plan. Sir, given that the amended motion that was proposed by myself and subsequently passed at the August Council meeting, part of which stated this Council agrees to await the consultant's report on the proposed Newry Civic Centre, which is to be presented to Council in September 2020, agrees not to go to tender or submit a planning application on this scheme until this report is re-evaluated by Council and the recommendation of that re-evaluation is put to an extensive public consultation. I just wanted to get a bit of an update, potentially from Marie and the senior management team, as to how we action that going forward based on the current strands that are there, and given the fact that we've agreed as a council, it was passed at the last council meeting, that we would reevaluate this element of it and put the public consultation. It's just really to get clarity as to how that proposal that I made will be actioned, Chair, and give us a bit of an update on progress to date. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael and Marie, would that be you or about
Yeah,
you?
Chair, yeah.
Thank you.
Chair, I suppose the report that's going is relating to the outline business case for the project. That went before the project board in September and will be tabled at FPNR next Thursday, and then obviously onwards to Council, and the Project Board will work on the consideration of how the other parts of the Notice of Motion are actioned, so it will follow through over the coming weeks as to how we action each of the following parts, but the outline business case will be presented to SPNR next Thursday.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Okay, Michael, happy enough?
Yes, sure. I just thought that clarity up. Maybe that outlines it for me. Okay,
thank you. Any other matters arise on SPNR, or we can tend to move forward to AHC? Okay, so AHC on the 21st of September, page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Okay, proposed by Councillor O'Mara, second by Councillor McAvoy. Thank you. Councillor Sharvin, you've got a question under matters arising.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's in relation to the financial assistance update within the document. It's within the committee meetings that clearly states which theme and the thresholds that will be associated to it. But has the criteria that was previously used were clubs or groups that had failed off this couldn't reapply within a time period since being removed? And then also, when is this call for these themes to be actually released?
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sharvin, is Michael there?
Yes. Yes, Chair.
Michael, can you come in there? Thanks.
Right, thank you, Chair. Yes, the proposal to not to allow people to be able to reapply for a period of time has been removed, so that bar isn't there anymore in the recommendation that you see in front of you. And we will be getting it out as soon as we possibly can, hopefully before Christmas.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Gareth. Okay. Any other matters arising? Okay, move on to the Minutes of Neighbourhood Services there on the 22nd of September. So page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 18, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And then in terms of proposal of Councillor McGuinness, thank you, and seconded by Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Stokes, sir, you have a question on the matters arising?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Chair, something I raised at the meeting, and maybe you join with me, and it's not many, too many weeks, Chair, we'll be looking at we're putting up the Christmas illuminations this year. And I know some councillors always have an interest in it. I do think this year the council should really make a special effort. I mean, given the news we've had over the weekend and the announcements we expect this week, plus the end of the furlough scheme potentially, and everything that goes with that. And I don't know about you, Chair, but people are starting to, including myself, how many would we normally have at Christmas dinner, and how many households would normally be there, and will it be possible for us all to do what we normally do? So I'm sure other people are thinking that too. So Chair, it's going to be a potentially dark time. So I do think if our council can really come together and do our absolute best this year in terms of Christmas illuminations, because there mightn't be a whole lot else to show, and I do think we should make a special effort, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Your comments there have been noted. Councillor Savage, Ian next there.
Yes, Chair. It's really two things. Like, one is to welcome the reopening of the HRCs. There's a lot of pressure coming from the public to try and get them open on the Saturday and have more access to them. In relation to Newry, in the last number of weeks, there's a new housing development at Rockmount Close off the Belfast Road, and in the 4 weeks since they moved into those houses, they've had to use the civic amenity site because the bins haven't been collected. And I'm just looking at an update from the department. Have they managed to get that issue dealt with? It's the new housing development there off the Belfast Road, Rockmount Close. They haven't had a response from what I can see today yet as to what can be done with the families, and they've had to use the HRCs to offload some of their recyclables at least.
Thanks, Councillor Savage. Can I maybe ask Roland to take that up with you separately? Just constantly, we could end up getting loads of areas coming in here for requests, if that's okay. Roland, can you maybe speak to Councillor Savage after the meeting and provide an update regarding that particular estate?
It's a perfect bit of it, absolutely. I'll pick that up with Councillor Savage.
Thanks a million, Roland. Thank you. Okay, so here's the Audit Committee. Let me see. Audit Committee, the 24th of September. So if we go through page by page, and let me see how many pages these. Apologies, folks, I had the hard copy printed out here. I think the audit committee was to follow. Just bear with us a wee second to go through these pages for accuracy.
There's 9 pages, Laura.
Pages, thank you, Sarah. So I'll go through imaginary pages here, and people can alert me if there's any issues, we can bring them up at that point. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And do we have a proposer and a seconder for the accuracy of the minutes proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Owen? Thank you very much. Have we any matters arising? Okay, folks, if we can then move on. That's great, thank you.
Chair, apologies. Can I come in on another declaration of interest?
Yes.
I have to declare an interest in item SPR 140/2020, just for the record, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Marie. That's great. Okay, if we move on, then item number 11, there was an extract from the Planning Committee, of which there was nothing referred in terms of this meeting. The items of correspondence, there's 12, 13, 14 and 15. If we can take them all at once, I know they are for noting. If anybody has any particular issues, they can raise them now, and if not, we can move on. Okay, that takes us up as far as the first notice of motion. I think it's from Councillor McGuinness regarding the increase in vehicle insurance costs. Can I hand over to you, Councillor McGuinness?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'll just read out the motion first. Newry, Mourne and Down District Council shares the concerns of residents living within BT34 and BT35 postcodes about the drastic increase in their vehicle insurance costs. This council agrees to immediately write to the financial regulator to request an investigation into the postcode lottery of car insurance and the outrageous rises in premiums that local drivers are experiencing. So living within the postcodes of BT34 and BT35 will cost you considerably more in car insurance than almost anywhere else in the north. Insurance companies calculate how great a risk a customer is by their postcode, and the BT34 BT35 postcode is rated as high risk. This system is crippling everyone within these postcodes regarding car insurance. It is an extremely unfair system when everyone is made to suffer for the actions of a few. Those drivers who are constantly claiming and driving with no insurance should be the people who are punished for their actions, not the ordinary hard-working person who has never put in for a claim, yet their insurance premiums rise dramatically year on year with this excuse that you address is the issue. These insurance companies have the public between a rock and a hard place, as they know that because insurance is essential, that the higher premium will be paid. The inequalities of this current system need to be addressed urgently by the financial regulator. Those who have spent more years on the road and have passed the costly 18 to 25 age group should see a drop in premium. It is widely accepted that those drivers who fall into the 18 to 25-year-old category will have a higher premium, but those people who have been driving for years without incident should see a drop in their insurance premiums year on year. This is not happening in BT34 and BT35. In fact, the premiums are getting higher by the year for no reason other than their postcode. Authorities need to put something in place to make sure the ordinary Joe does not pay the price for other drivers' misdemeanours. The no-claims bonus may as well be non-existent for those of us who have never had a claim yet are still paying through the roof to be covered on the roads. Surely a countdown on false claims and drivers who are not insured would be a fairer system and would eventually alleviate this issue. However, authorities do not seem forthcoming in implementing this. They are happy for customers within these postcodes to pay the price instead. With the complexities of Brexit coming fast down the track, people are worried what way this will affect their insurance on top of everything else, especially from these postcodes that contain a lot of cross-border workers. In these already extremely difficult times for many people, a bit of help regarding reducing these premiums would be invaluable and take the pressure off many families. My party colleague, Pierce Doherty, has uncovered a lot of anomalies within the insurance sector in the South and has effectively challenged it, and there really needs to be the same challenges made in the North too. I therefore ask this council to immediately write to the financial regulator, asking them to address this imbalance and give the vast majority of hard-working people in these postcodes a break regarding these ridiculously high insurance premiums. Thank you.
Thank you. And if that, do you have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Gerry O'Hare.
Oh, he's coming in second. Okay. Yep, Councillor O'Hare, going ahead there.
Yes, I welcome Councillor McGuinness's motion. There's only seems to be one way car insurance is going up, and it's never going down by the way it looks of it, so 100%. Una. But I would just like to add to that motion if it's possible. It's basically about house insurance around the BT34 area, and I don't know about the BT35 area, but the BT34 area, it seems to be just going up and up and up. It's never, no matter how much many insurance companies you do contact, it's still the same. It never seems to be going down at all, even without claims. So I would just like to add that to that motion, if that's possible, Una. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. And, Gerry, are you happy to accept that amendment?
Yeah, I'm happy to accept that, Gerry, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Certainly, I have, I suppose, sympathies for the motion coming forward. But I'm sure the proposer is reacting to some hotspots, maybe in our own area where car crime was quite high, which actually led to, I understand, some particular addresses, some particular town lands actually having been, I suppose, had the premiums increased on them dramatically more than others. I did a wee bit of research just before the meeting, and I spoke to the Consumer Council and brokers in the area. When they actually revealed that there hasn't been any large widespread increases in specifically car and vehicle insurance. Now, I do agree with Councillor O'Hare where he talks about the house insurance, which was brought about by the high claims of the flooding caused by deficit in copper piping throughout those two areas taking place about 30 years ago. But certainly I don't want to take anything away from the motion, the sentiments, but The facts are that an all-party group in Stormont received a report on the price of vehicle insurance in Northern Ireland in March 2016. This was presented to an all-party group, and there was evidence given by the Consumer Council for Northern Ireland. Now, there were 15 points made for the government to act on. Some of them would be, you know, were termed around the lack of insurance providers because of the particular style of insurance in North of Ireland, which was is a broker-led system as opposed to a direct dealing system. So with that in mind, can I add the following to the motion if the Chair, I know she'd already had a proposal to take one further, not to the Chair, sorry, to the proposer, take one on, but I would like to add on that we also write to the Minister for the Economy asking for all the recommendations made in the report by the Consumer Council to the All-Party Working Group to be implemented. I believe that would be the Minister for the Economy. So I would ask that that would be something really that I feel really worthwhile. The regulator has already been involved in this, and if the proposer, maybe the proposer has read the report, but I understand that this hasn't been implemented at all. So I think it would be worthwhile doing that. And I just ask, respectfully ask for that to be inserted maybe at the end of the proposal.
Okay. Una, you will accept that further amendment?
Yeah, I'll accept that and add it in at the end. But I would have to disagree with Councillor McAteer on the issue of townlands and that. Like, surely if there's an issue in one particular townland or one particular town, the whole that whole area and that whole postcode should not be made to suffer if, for everyone else's mistakes. So I don't agree with that. That's because there's certain car crime in certain townlands or certain villages that the whole area of that postcode should suffer. So
I'll bring you in at the end to sum up, if that's okay. But just here, accept the amendment, that's great, and then we can move on. There's a few other questions there, and I can take you at the end, if that's okay. Councillor Taylor, you're in next there.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Just to acknowledge our support for the motion. Certainly, you know, there is an issue regarding the cost of vehicle insurance in this area, and even there is a disparity between BT34 and BT35. And I know that from my own experience when I moved from BT34 to BT35. My insurance increased by near £200 per year, which is a significant increase, and only a mile out the road actually from where I previously lived. So there has been, I think over the last week or so, I've seen some action regarding the financial regulator now maybe having some power to look at the increases that are taking place you know, year on year, for instance, on people's vehicle insurance. You know, well, there's no particular reason for an increase other than doing an increase for the sake of it. So, you know, hopefully that will help in some way or other in terms of keeping the costs down and reducing costs. But certainly, you know, with the motion itself, there's a lot of merit in it, and certainly anything that can be done to try and resolve the issue there is regarding the cost of insurance in this area. I certainly think that if council can do something on that to try and encourage the financial regulator to look into that, but we should full-heartedly support that.
Thank you, David. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks very much. No, I think that one actually cleared up for me, but I was just to say to Una, is it very specific areas? Because certainly my own insurance here, I'm with the National Farmers Union, and it hasn't gone up for 2 or 3 years. So, and I asked some more people, local people, if they had noticed big increases and not really affected in this area. So, you know, it was just, it must be quite specific areas where it is getting the big jump. Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. And again, I'll bring it in at the end, if that's okay. We'll go through the questions first of all. I think it was Councillor Owens, and you're in next.
Hi. I would just like to say, from the DUP's point of view, we're happy to support Una in this motion. From my own personal standpoint, I'm sitting with a 17-year-old. I'm a mother sitting there with her fingers in the mouth every time he gets behind the steering wheel, terrified. But it's crazy to think that in order to get him a car, his car insurance is nearly £3,000, and yet the car we'd be looking at getting for him would be £1,500. You know, yet at the end of the day, my husband or I could be driving a 30 grand car and crash into a 30 grand car, but our car insurance is only £200. I mean, the whole car insurance industry really does need an overhaul, but certainly if what Una is saying is the case with BT34 and 35, if that is correct, then you know, it's not fair. It's, you know, it's, you're dealing with people, you know, and they don't have any choice in this. If they want to get in, get out and about, you know, this is something they need to pay. So yeah, anything to help support some fairness across the board. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Catherine. Councillor Andrews.
First of all, thanks. And I must say it's been a very good motion, and I think it's very appropriate in the times that we're in. You know, for years upon years, Northern Ireland, the six counties, have always been dearer in insurance premiums than anywhere else. And I do welcome moves for this to be reviewed. But also, at the present moment in time, there's a whole lot of us who will have been driving the roads, and because of the current pandemic, we're practically not driving at all, and yet the insurance companies aren't showing any mad rush to the door to say to drivers, oh, your driving's cut considerably. Here's a reduction in your premiums. And, you know, as I say, maybe that point, I'm not going to ask for any amendments because I think, more or less, that point too, that in the times that we're in at the moment, that the insurance premiums should be reviewed. And because people are doing less driving, they should get a reduction in their premium as a result. But overall, it's a good motion. And it's highlighted a very important topic to so many who are affected economically tough and running a car, insuring a taxi and filling it with petrol or diesel. But I think it's something has to be done these times, so I wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Mulgrave.
Yes, I just want to, well, first of all, Catherine, Councillor Owens has sort of touched on what I wanted to say, but I want to say, Catherine, wherever you live, if you're getting car insurance for £200, that's where I'm moving, because even mine, having driven for well over 30 years, is three times that in a BT 35 area with no accidents and nobody else on my cover either, no young people. I think this is a very valid motion, and you know, the point about young people, I have a young nephew who's 18, an apprentice plumber, who needs his car to go to meet the work van in the morning to head off, and he can be working anywhere from Portrush to Dublin. And of course, as an apprentice, he's getting a pittance, an absolute pittance. I mean, apprentices don't even get minimum wage because they are still learning, and that supposedly is reflected in what they are given. But I can tell you, my son gave him a car, his old car that he had no longer used because he lives in Canada. And the young fella has spent 6 months doing that car up. Now, the car is probably worth a couple of £100, and his insurance is about £3,800. Now, that is more than that young fella can earn. And the penalties given out, the financial penalties given out to those who drive with no insurance or no license or no tax, you know, is insignificant in terms of how our young people are being penalised. Young people that are trying to do it right, who have, you know, gone through, got their lessons, got their cars, got them MOT'd, get them taxed and insure them. And the temptation for young people, especially the likes of him, you know, must be huge when they see other people, their peers, not bothering to insure their car because it's just simply not possible. So I do think the whole system needs a complete overhaul, and anything that this council can do to highlight it must be welcomed. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Roisin. Councillor Murphy's in next there.
Thanks, Laura. And I'd like to support the motion. I think if you take a look at the comparative study that was done in the south, I think it was around about 2018-2019, carried out by the Oireachtas. It was the Central Bank carried this out, and their findings were very, very clear that this is an absolute rip-off by the insurance companies. I think most people who have spoken so far tonight are fairly, you know, charitable with regards to the insurance companies. This is an absolute rip-off. There is nothing to justify the costs, particularly of motor insurance. You know, people talk about maybe it's the area you live in and, you know, car theft and stuff like that. I know in BT35 where I live, the stats come from the PSNI, is that car theft is actually relatively low in this area. There's absolutely nothing to justify this complete and utter rip-off. You know, so I think what, like they did in the south, the insurance companies need to be called out. You know, people should not be put under this type of financial burden. And it's to be honest with you, it's an absolute crime the way people are being treated in both BT35 and BT34. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you for that, Declan. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I agree fully with both Declans and obviously Una for taking the motion. I suppose we want to see action out of this, and Councillor McAteer talks about the 2016 piece of work, all-party piece of work on instalment and the 15 recommendations, and I think that's absolutely key, because we can all sit all day and talk about the reasons why insurance is high in certain postcodes. We can talk about crime levels, we can talk about the amount of claims, we can talk about the competitive nature of the marketplace, and that is a big issue, because the insurance companies that are here, we have a very low number of insurance companies here on opportunities, which inflates the prices because it's not a competitive marketplace. And those are the questions that need to be put to the financial regulator, and I suppose those are the questions that are in the piece of work that was done in Stormont. So yes, it's Una's right in the sense that we're getting punished on this sort of blanket burden that's put on a whole district because of certain individuals that's not playing by the rules or driving with no insurance. So I think an overhaul of the whole system, but I welcome the motion. Declan McAteer has articulated the SDLP's position on the motion, and we fully support it, and I welcome that the amendment was taken to look into those recommendations, because a piece of work was done and we need to follow through on that and see an overhaul of this system, because it isn't fair in its current state. But I do want to see finally that it has to be a more competitive marketplace. There's no point in we heard a couple of years ago that a number of insurance companies have pulled out because they said they got their fingers burnt in liability claims. You know, we need to fix that. We don't need that the Northern Ireland market goes down to such an uncompetitive level that we get hiked up premiums and we have to suck it up because we have to be insured. So, good motion. I'm happy to support.
Thank you, Pete. Okay, I know that all seems very positive there. Do you want to come in and sum up there?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone for the support, and I'm happy to accept both amendments from Councillor O'Hare and Councillor McAteer. I agree with Pete, something needs to be done in terms of a total overhaul of the system. It is an unfair system as it stands, so hopefully something will come off this. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay, Una, thanks very much. I think by everybody's comments, everybody seems supportive, so that's great. If we can move on then to item number 17, which is the next notice of motion, which is from Councillor Mulgrew regarding the reopening of A&E in Daisy Hill Hospital. So it's over to you, Roisin.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. I'll just start my video. Thank you very much, Chair. The notice of motion reads, the statement released by the Southern Trust on Friday the 11th of September notifying our community that the reopening of the emergency department in Daisy Hill Hospital had been delayed by almost a month has caused great concern for many. While we fully accept and appreciate the unique situation created by COVID-19 and the logic behind the initial temporary closure, which has now lasted for more than 6 months, we as a community cannot allow any further delays in the reinstating of this crucial service and indeed the services within the Down Hospital. The travel time for a significant percentage of our population to access services now exceeds an hour, and this, coupled with seasonal pressures and poor infrastructure, has the potential to impact negatively on patients and could, in fact, mean the difference between life and death. We are asking that this council contacts both of our trusts and states in the strongest terms the concerns of our community and demands that there will be no further delays in the delivery of vital services. We also want to acknowledge the Herculean efforts of all staff within the health and care sector during this pandemic. In light of information which came out over the weekend, I had contacted Sarah today and asked that we could also add on that in light of the latest news, the emergency surgery to be withdrawn from Daisy Hill Hospital and the fear that this has caused throughout our community and the staff, that we are now asking for an emergency meeting with both of our trusts to clearly state that no further downgrading of services can be acceptable. And, you know, before the meeting started today, we received further information about the Down Hospital, and I know a number of councillors had, you know, contacted me, you know, and I had said, obviously, in the initial motion that I had mentioned both Daisy Hill Hospital and the Down Area Hospital. I put this motion in 3 weeks ago because whenever the first statement came out from the Trust to say that the opening of the emergency department in Daisy Hill was going to be delayed, instantly I was contacted by members of the community and indeed staff within the Trust saying, you know, that they really felt that the Trust was trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And it's very concerning that there is such mistrust with the Trusts, if you like. You know, certainly when you see the information that we have got over the last couple of days, it makes you wonder, you know, is our community in fact correct and are the staff in fact correct? You know, over the last few years, there has been a huge amount of goodwill from the people of our community towards our hospitals. We all realise that they're an essential resource for our entire community. This council, in fact, is the only council in this island where we have meetings with both of the trusts on a regular basis, because we as a council prioritise the importance of health. And you know, I was very proud to be, you know, sitting in Laura's position when we were able to launch those meetings. You know, so the goodwill and support for our trusts is there through the council, through businesses, through communities. What we heard, you know, about the withdrawal of emergency surgery. Now, what I'm being told is that there will be a level of emergency surgery, but that seems to be gynae and maternity related emergency surgery, and all other surgeries emergency surgeries will be moved to Craigavon from the 16th of October. Now, if that is the case, my concern is that we are effectively allowing the Trust to turn our emergency department into a minor injuries unit. Because I would have thought that if an ambulance attends an incident and it is clear that someone needs surgery, that they will bypass our emergency department to take them to Craigavon. You know, and that technically is a downgrading of the service without coming out and saying you're downgrading it. So we've heard today from Harold about how significant, you know, about his stroke. And again, Harold, you know, it is great to see you tonight. But as Harold points out, this is not a political issue. Our health is a concern for every single member of our society, irrespective of their age, gender, political affiliation or anything else. Our communities are all entitled to a good level of care. We all pay the same taxes. We are all entitled to a level of care. And we should no longer sit back and allow those of us who live in rural communities, small towns and cities, to take a second-rate service. If Daisy Hill, at the minute, you know, this is quite a raw one for me, really, and I suppose because in the last year I have unfortunately had to use the emergency services on several occasions. And my mother would have died alone in the back of an ambulance if she had died, you know, during the closure of the emergency department. And for someone that has raised a big family and, in fact, worked her entire life in the health service, I could not have reconciled myself to that. Now, you know, we have had battles about our stroke services. We've had battles about our emergency department. Now it's emergency surgeries. And what people are saying to me is very clear, that our trusts are hiding under the cover of COVID-19. That's what people are saying out there. They are hiding under the cover of COVID-19. Because if this was in normal times, the people and our communities would be on the street protesting. Now, we as elected representatives have a moral duty to try and make sure that that doesn't happen, because we don't want to be doing anything that will feed into the spread of the virus. But that is the level of anger that is out there within our communities for both Daisy Hill Hospital and the Down Hospital. And I'm asking that everybody supports this motion, that we request an emergency meeting through whatever form is necessary with both of the trusts to tell them that we need to know what they're doing to protect the lives of our citizens. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks very much, Roisin. That's a heartfelt speech there. Roisin, who is seconding your motion?
Councillor O'Murray.
Thank you. Councillor O'Murray, do you want to come in there to second?
Yes, thanks a million, Chairperson. And I'm very, very happy to second this motion. And I'd just like to commend Roisin for the comments that she had made so far. I'll just go along with what she's saying. You know, it's no wonder that we all of us grow a wee bit anxious as we approach a deadline from the Trust, given the history of, you know, you just have to look back to August when the emergency department was pushed back to October. We're all very nervous now as what's going to happen coming up to October the 16th. And then an 11th hour announcement today about the down emergency department as well. It's going to throw everything up in the air as well. Look, from Daisy Hill's point of view, Daisy Hill is a first class acute hospital. And the main objective of all stakeholders should be not only to retain the services that are already there, but to further develop and expand the hospital to its full potential. On October the 16th, we are told we are seeing the reopening of the emergency department, but also the transfer of acute surgeries to Craigavon. This is not what people want, and this is not what people need. As Roisin says, to have to go to Craigavon for acute surgeries would mean people having to drive past Daisy Hill, would mean people in South Armagh, an ambulance having to go to pick somebody up to drive to Craigavon for an acute surgery, and then leave a deficit in South Armagh, Newry, South Down for ambulance cover and that. It just, logistically, it doesn't make sense. I echo wholeheartedly the comments of Councillor McGrew in relation to the staff of Daisy Hill, who have been at the coalface throughout this crisis, performing their duties with diligence, integrity, and as always, with extreme professionalism. They're at their wits' end. They're afraid for their jobs. They don't want to be moved. The departments they worked in, they don't want to see them cut in Daisy Hill. And they're turning to us for help. They're turning to us for support. And that's what we need to give them. All they want to be allowed is to do their job in the hospital that they love to the best of their ability. It's what we all want. The community of South Armagh are totally reliant on Daisy Hill. Any cuts to services at Daisy Hill will be roundly rejected, always, by the people of South Armagh. Our MLA, Liz Kimmins, and MP Mickey Brady will this week meet with the Trust Chief Executive, Shane Devlin, seeking assurances that Daisy Hill will at the very least retain all of its services in this October. And this is not a party political issue. It's either we all campaign together to retain the services we have in our local hospitals and to build upon them, to create centres of excellence, or we watch them being stripped apart. We're going to learn a lot on October the 16th. From Ireland.
Thank you very much, Farah. Okay, Councillor Brown, you're in next there.
Thank you, Chair, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Councillor Mulgrew for bringing this forward. It's a very important motion, and she raised some very excellent points when and speaking to it. It's clear that we're facing an unprecedented challenge to our healthcare services right across this district, and that's been made clear by the announcement coming out of the South Eastern Trust in regard to the Down Hospital this evening. And I think we all had an inkling that could have been a possibility, and of course Councillor Mulgrew does reference that in her original motion. I do have an emergency motion down at the end of this meeting's agenda in regard to that, but just in terms of the interest of moving swiftly through and not having to suspend standing orders and everything like that, and the interest of working together as a district in the face of this challenge, I'd like to ask if Councillor Mulgrew would accept that emergency motion as an amendment to her motion, not changing any of the wording that is there already, just to change the title to Daisy Hill and Down A&E, and to add the entire wording of the motion, which I believe has been circulated by Democratic Services, basically to the bottom of that motion so far. With the addition of the word also after this council is, just so it makes a grammatical sense. I think it's in terms of speaking to that motion now, I think it's very worrying that South Eastern Trust have backtracked on their promises to reopen the Down A&E on 19th of October as was planned. Councillors from all parties were adamant just a few weeks ago that the Down A&E must return, and they all came together to apply political pressure to secure a date, which wasn't previously offered by the Trust. Now they've completely backtracked and broken their promises on that. And it's hard to see how this current proposal that they've got is any better than the minor injuries. And that is to say that it simply is not good enough. At times of a national health crisis, we should be enhancing healthcare provision, not centralising it, which is clearly the agenda here now, as it has been for many years in the Down area, to take services out of rural communities and to centralise them in Belfast. They'll say, as usual, that it's due to staffing issues, but yet again, the Down seems to be the poor relative when it comes to the Trust actually sorting out what is very much organisational, operational HR issues, or at least that's what they would lead us to believe. I recognise that we are entering potentially a second wave, but we haven't seen any evidence that reducing services in the Down is aiding with the COVID response in any way, and I wholeheartedly endorse the comments that Councillor Mulgrew made in terms of hiding under the cover of COVID. I think that's a very accurate way to describe it. I'd like to add as well, possibly, which wasn't included in my motion, the idea that we write to the South Eastern Trust and the Health Minister asking them to reconsider this decision. I'd also like to add that the people of South Down have been treated as second-class citizens when it comes to healthcare for far too long, and we really need to be heard loud and clear. We in the Down area know that we only get the healthcare we deserve when we fight for it, so hopefully we can come together as a council right across the district and fight for our healthcare services here tonight.
Thanks very much, Patrick. I suppose at this point I would just ask Councillor Mulgrew if she'd be content to accept your amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically the amendment is asking what we've been asking for all along. And as I say, Patrick, the reason that I submitted this 3 weeks ago was because what we were hearing from the staff on the ground was that there were going to be other things happening in the interim. So I have no issue with that. And as I say, I think certainly if we have an emergency meeting that we should be able to come together and you know, put all those questions directly to the Trust. So I have no issue with that.
Okay, thanks very much, Councillor Mulgrew. Okay, so we move on then. Councillor Hannan's next.
Thanks, Chair. Well, I think it would be remiss of me not to come in on this, especially with the news that has broken there half an hour before a council meeting with regards to the Down. I don't even know where to start with this. The Department and the Trust promised that community would be consulted. That has not happened. To get an email out to what they determined to be key stakeholders and elected reps, I just don't think that's good enough for this area. It's really disappointing, but not surprising, that promises have yet again been broken. We were accused of scaremongering at the start when we suggested that this would be an issue, and like, it's just come to fruition that they haven't delivered on what they were going to do. I fully recognise the pressures of COVID to the health service, but if we look at this, I mean, there's never any bother with building a Nightingale Hospital overnight in Belfast, or increasing beds in the Ulster Hospital, or money for staff in Lygon Valley. I would ask the question, what is it about our area that we are being singled out, and what's different that we can't have the services continuing the way they are, and why are that we being continually stripped back? I do recognise that what is being proposed is better than a minor injuries unit, but it most certainly, in my opinion, does not go far enough. You know, we need to have far better communication from the Trust. Sinn Féin had sought meetings with the South Eastern Trust management, and basically were fobbed off coming up to this, and then an email drops into an email box. I just don't think that's good enough for any just on any kind of level, to be honest with you. We need to protect our staff and our services in the Down, and we need a fully functioning NE.
Thank you for that, Una. Councillor Gallagher?
Sorry,
you're on
mute there. You hear me okay now, yeah?
Yep, that's you.
As I say, I think a lot, most folks have said what this, you know, we're all thinking. Fully support Councillor Mulgrew on this proposal. I think the full support of the reopening of the services within Daisy Hill and the Down. Look, I acknowledge there's, as we've mentioned before, you know, with the COVID, but as many other councillors have said, you know, what impact majorly is that having with the staff? You know, it is vital not to lose sight, you know, the need for these vital services. And again, as Councillor Hannan has said as well, was in the Down, which is something very close to my heart, and that aspect of it, it's vital services. You know, the last 6 months, you know, it has been difficult for so many. and, you know, with a major impact on the local, and I'm talking about within the Down E area, you know, they've limited access to A&E, limited access to services, you know, having to travel a massive distance to get seen, it puts a lot of clients and folks off. It's totally unfair, and as Councillor Brown had said, you know, being treated as a second-class citizens, and that is not right, you know, that this is going through that way and the major impact. And I suppose, for me, working within the health service, I know of staff and the staff morale. And with the COVID, they have been second to none. They have gone where they have been asked to go, without question. But that has an impact, and it has an impact on the staff morale, has an impact on how they're able to travel. You know, and it really does knock them, and they want to get back into the environment where they were in regards to that. You know, we have a service up until what is being suggested now, a consultant led Monday to Friday with the nurse on law on Saturday, Sunday. You know, when you ring, and I've had a friend ring up to say they wanted to put themselves in, of all things, to do to A&E, or the nurse led at the time. And now, first of all, we're told or asked was, have you had a head injury? Because if you do, you can't come there. So then they have to go another 20 miles elsewhere. This is totally unfair. You know, and now that we have heard that the trust is now changing, and as Councillor Hannah has said as well, that, you know, that, yes, it's probably better than what we have, but we shouldn't have to go for second best. We shouldn't have to say, well, you know, we have this, so that's all right. I mean, there's services that really need to be going in place. People are suffering. And I know personally the impact it's having on the elderly and, you know, those with special needs. It really needs to be sorted out. So I'm 100% fully supportive of this motion.
Thanks very much, Hugh. Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you. I want to thank Roisin McGrew for her motion, and probably just furthering on what herself and Barra has said. Over the last number of months, Irish and Fianna Fáil as an MP has been meeting with trust senior officials on a monthly basis to monitor and keep pressure on for the return of Daisy Hill ED at the earliest possible stage. Following concerns raised by staff in the hospital at a meeting last month with the trust, MLA Liz Kimmins raised the concerns around reductions to surgical cover in Daisy Hill, and was given assurances by the chief executive that they would that they are working to ensure that there would be 24/7 cover for Daisy Hill. However, we have been inundated with calls from staff of all levels in Daisy Hill, including consultants expressing grave concerns about proposals to transfer acute surgeries to Craigavon. If this goes ahead, this will have significant implications for the future of Daisy Hill. Sinn Féin will not allow this to happen. The people of this district have lost all faith in the trust, and we will fight tooth and nail to ensure that there is no reduction to the service in Daisy Hill. As a representative of Cross na Glen, the people living in my community will be one of the most affected by these proposals, and having to travel to Craigavon in an emergency situation requiring surgery is putting people's lives at risk. Sorry. We won't accept this, and if necessary, we will do whatever it takes to make sure the trust is in no doubt of how the people of this district feel. My colleague, Conor Murphy, has spoken directly with the Health Minister, Robin Swan, and made it very clear that it is unthinkable for these proposals to go ahead, and we will continue to challenge this at every level. Thank you.
Thank you, Aoife. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much. Certainly, we will be supporting the motion and the amendments that have been suggested also by Paddy as well in regards to Down Hospital. Certainly, you know, with the trusts, both trusts, actually our party has been engaging regularly with them over the recent period regarding these issues, and time and time again we've made it very clear our position in terms, you know, that we believe these services need to be restored as a matter of urgency. There was also a great disappointment within the Newry area and the wider district, you know, South Armagh and Mourne's area, whenever the delay was put in place regarding the opening of A&E at Daisy Hill. And you do start to lose, you know, confidence within the trust whenever you do meet with them on a regular basis, and you are given assurances, and then those assurances aren't met. it causes understandable concern, and people do have understandable doubts about the genuine position of officials in regard to these positions regarding the services. Daisy Hill Hospital means a lot to everybody in this community, and listen, health issues don't discriminate against anybody irrespective of what your background are. We're all affected by it, and if there's a reduction in services, that affects everybody in the area. And it's certainly something that I'm not, you know, willing to accept. You know, we all have had family or people that we know and hold dear to us that have been affected by, you know, illness that have depended upon the resources that have been available both in Daisy Hill and Down. And certainly our, you know, position as elected representatives in this council is very clear that we want our services retained and indeed expanded upon, you know, going forward. But certainly in the short term, we want to see the restoration of all services that were there before COVID as a matter of urgency. And I think, you know, there is, you know, growing concern within the local community about this. No one can deny that. And we're at a stage now, and whilst, again, there was mentioned about the communications issue of from the Trust, and I have to agree with that. And I did express concern even about the fact that the announcement regarding A&E was released on a late on a Friday afternoon. You know, and there was no even any inkling that something like that was going to happen regarding the delay in the opening for a number of weeks. Now, I have seen, you know, further communications from the Trust in regarding work ongoing at Daisy Hill, but I think, you know, it needs to be impressed upon both Trusts that we want to see this these services restored, and there's been no doubt that we won't accept any reduction in the services. A meeting is required with both Trust Chief Executives as a matter of urgency to seek clarity on many of the points that have been raised here tonight, and seek explanations from the Trust as to why there has been changes in what was suggested or proposed before. And I think, you know, we should insist on this meeting as a matter of urgency. I don't think we can accept any, you know, any attempt to try in that regard, because we as elected representatives try to provide people with information, try to provide them with assurances even regarding the genuine positions regarding the services, and then we're made to look foolish whenever these decisions are taken by Trust officials, and we're left to try and explain why these decisions have been taken. That's not to say that we accept them, but at the very least, we try to provide as much information as we can to the local community. The Trust, at the very least, should and must provide us with information regarding their position at the minute, and we must make it very clear to them in the best way that we can that we want to see the restoration of services in our local area. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, David. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Madam Chair, I know we can't go back in time, but whenever the Trust was threatening this under the guise of COVID, I was the only councillor that pointed out that that was pure opportunism on the part of the Trust. And what they were doing was trying to do what they've wanted to do for the last number of years, and that was close Daisy Hill A&E. And I've also had several staff on to me, and they've highlighted a number of acute conditions that Daisy Hill should be able to do, and one simple one was appendicitis. And the doctor did indicate Fantastic, they're all trying their best to do it, but they just can't cope. you can't get a park of it. It's dreadful. But that's me, Madam Chair. Thanks very much.
I think the Monaghan Row meeting room has just lost connection. So if we could just give it a couple of minutes, I don't think I think we're trying to reconnect here.
Yeah, Chair, I think, can you hear me again?
Yeah, I've got you, Marie.
Can we just test Laura there?
Laura, can you hear me now? Yeah, we can hear you, Laura.
Okay, great. I don't know what happened there. Probably think the whole chamber went down there. Sorry, Henry, you didn't make a contribution there. Do you want to just finish something up there?
Yeah, no, it was just, I don't know if you got any of that, what I said, but...
We did, Henry, we got the first part, yep.
Yeah, no, the fact that out of, there was only 3 A&E units closed in the whole of the UK, and 2 of them in our council area. So, it, as far as I'm concerned, it was pure opportunism on the part of the Trust, and we have to oppose it very rigorously. And I did point out, in the old Legacy Council, the Health Committee was one of the best committees on it, where we could bring them in on a monthly basis, hold them to account, and get commitments. And I think we need to go back to that type of structure. A committee that was open to any interested councillor, and it was really productive committee. And to lose that accountability and that oversight is a disaster for this area. And the longer it goes on without that accountability being applied, things are only going to get worse for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. Councillor Owens?
Hi, listen, thanks very much. I'm not necessarily going to say an awful lot more than what's already been said before me. First of all, thanks very much, Roisin. That was very powerful. And thanks very much, Paddy, for bringing it up to speed with the terrible news that we've heard tonight. I have to say the press release given by the Southern Trust is disappointing. It is limited in telling us what the actual problem is. You know, with the greatest respect, anybody within the medical field, no matter who they are, and those that are outside of it as well, has known for an awfully long time that surge 2, more than likely a surge 3, is going to come. It is not news. It is not new in epidemiology that is the way it's going to happen. It is also, though, not new that it was going to happen over the winter crisis. So why they then made this promise, you know, knowing so well that surge 2 was coming down the road with winter crisis is beyond me. There was also no consultation, quite rightly, as Una touched on. It was literally just dropped on us. Touching on Paddy's point there to do with centralised services, absolutely, you know, I'm quite happy to put my name to it. I hate centralised services. I hate the fact I'm in cardiology, and I hate the fact that my patients get blue-lighted off to the Royal, regardless of where they are, you know. And I personally believe that there should be smaller hubs in each major hospital. You know, so I'm also very, very concerned about all of this impact is having on non-COVID. So don't get me wrong, I am probably the one who's flying the flag for the COVID concern the most. I am really, really worried about it. But equally as well, I'm also really, really worried about patients that are going to be dying of heart disease, patients that are going to be dying of strokes, patients that are going to be dying of all of these other things. We're 6 months into this now. None of this is a shock or none of this is a surprise anymore. It is not fair on the doctors and the nurses to be doing this on them. They need clear direction now. This is not going to go away until we get a virus, so we need to be coming up with a plan, and that's it. The other thing as well that I'm worried about overall is holistically looking at South Down. We have 2 hospitals they see it as the weaker, I'm choosing my words carefully, they see them as the weaker hospitals. We, of course, don't see them as that. You know, the Down Hospital are important. The Daisy Hill Hospital is important. But at the end of the day, if those 2 individual trusts are seeing them as their weaker hospitals, where does that leave the people of South Down? You know, something needs to come in and look at this overall. That's pretty much all I have to say. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Catherine. Councillor Enright? Gnogan, are you there? Okay, Councillor Sharvin?
Sorry, everybody, a lot of people seem to drop out there. Chair, if you want to just wait a second.
Oh, okay, thanks. Isn't going too well. Sure, it's not these IT issues.
Was that you, Donna? Can you see who all's in, or?
Yeah, bear with me here, just 2 seconds, Chair.
Yeah, thanks.
Marie and Sarah, can you hear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Bear with us, just Sarah. To make sure everybody's back in.
Yeah, I think Sarah was dropping out to come back in there as well.
I had to do the same.
Apologies, there seems to have been something technical has happened that dropped us all out. I don't know what the technical is, but I thought it was initially a problem just with us and Yuri.
Not everyone, yeah. It did server connection cause limited functionality. I think that's most people back in now.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
Okay.
Enright, are you there?
Sorry, Chair. Can I just ask you to check if Councillor Kern is in again?
Yeah, bear with me. Sean is in. Jeremy, Councillor Kern, can you hear us? I'll just call him.
Apologies, Chair. Just looks like he's not actually in here.
Just give him a call here, okay?
Yeah.
Just waiting on clarification from Councillor Kern, okay?
Sarah, can I just check if you're picking up the lobby, the waiting in the lobby ones?
Marie, I'm just letting the guests sit in the lobby here, Serena.
Oh, Sarah hasn't come back on again either, have you not, Sarah?
Councillor Kern is just trying to reconnect as well.
Councillor Byrne is having difficulty getting back into the meeting. He's just messaged Pete Byrne.
Yeah, can I just actually suggest that we definitely do that? We maybe just, if we could all just drop out of the meeting, apologies for the confusion, everybody, but if you just use the link that you had used then originally, hopefully we'll reconnect again. Is that okay with everyone?
Do you want us to all drop out, Marie?
Yeah, everybody drop out and then...
Councillors in Downpatrick have been dealing with this issue with the South Eastern Trust for years. And the Southern Trust seems to be using the same process of running down services in Uri as was taken with Downpatrick. Now, I stood down after 10 years from the South Eastern Trust Finance Committee in March. So I have a very good understanding of what the situation is. The clinical recommendation in Downpatrick is for a 24-hour accident and emergency. The South Eastern Trust are saying they don't have the staff, and since the population of our area is less than that of Lagan Valley or Ulster, they have to prioritise the staff they do have for those areas. But they're not saying that we don't have a clinical need for a 24-hour accident and emergency. Now, the same situation does not apply in Uri. The population of Craigavon is 16,000. The population of Uri is 27,000, and it services a much bigger area on both sides of the border. So there's no way that the Southern Trust can say that Uri is in the same situation as Downpatrick. It would appear to me this is a straightforward Section 75 issue, and our council as a whole needs to take the Department of Health to court over this, which is clearly a Section 75 issue on both sides of the council. I mean, the only real resolution to this is to have the same boundaries as was originally proposed under RPA, where our council would be able to directly influence what the trust is doing. I think being the butt end of both trusts is not serving our council well. And I think it's very important that Newry does establish itself as being the premier location population-wise in its trust area and fights this issue, because really, if anything has to be run down at all, it should be Craigavon and not Newry, given the reasons used to run down the accident and emergency in Downpatrick. Thank you.
Thank you. Cadogan, Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose, first of all, I just want to mention the disappointing, disgraceful, and actually disgusting approach that the Trust has taken today in how they plan to communicate, not just with ourselves as elected representatives, but all key stakeholders and the community of South Down. It actually is astounding to receive a press release to people emailed very late today that isn't actually even shared on their social media, but on their own sites. So what are they afraid of? Are they afraid that they're going to get the backlash that they deserve? And actually they're just trying to avoid that conversation. One thing actually I want to pick up on was Councillor Owen's comment that the Trust see Daisy Hill and the Down as the weaker. If that's their opinion, it's because of the lack of investment that came from both the Trust themselves. So if they identify it as the weaker, it's their own fault. If they actually invest in the two hospitals, they actually would have a better service and maybe a better view. But certainly on the Down, and the people that use it, the people that live near it and the wider community see the Down and the Daisy Hill as two of the best that we have in Northern Ireland. Some of the things I want to point out on in relation to particularly the Down and the announcement that the urgent care services are going to be provided. And I'm not taking away anything that's being added or restored is to be welcome. But what we also need to understand is, what does that actually mean? You know, it says it's 8 to 6 Monday to Friday. Okay, that's fine. At least we have a time frame. But actually, what are they going to see? You need to ring up. So if you're taking a heart attack or a stroke or if you an urgent care, a medical care matter, you're not going to have time to ring up and get an appointment for a consultant to tell you to come on into the Down. That's just stupid. You know, and the Trust even suggests that. They clearly haven't thought it through. How many consultants are going to be involved in this? Is it going to be one consultant that's going to manage the whole of the Down in call? Again, these are a lot of things that we need to understand. Furthermore, if an ambulance is called and a patient is urgently needing care that the Down previously could have accommodated, is that ambulance going to go to the Down? Are they going to head on up to the Ulster? Again, that is not clear. Is the 8 to 6 going to accept ambulances into the Down? The Trust clearly just don't want to share information with us. One other thing that I wanted to touch on is today we have a trust that is failing the care and the health and well-being of all South Down citizens. They're asking some of our residents in our community to travel in an ambulance that they have to wait on for a long period of time, to be transferred miles away from perfectly two good hospitals in the Down and the Daisy Hill, to lie in an ambulance outside A&E, at the Ulster, at Craigavon, wherever they've gone. And to be honest, why can they not come to the Down and Daisy Hill? To be honest, a lot of people, and I've shared it on my social media, a lot of people have stated clearly they saw this coming. And that clearly shows the level of confidence and trust that people have in the South Eastern Trust and Southern Trust today. And to be honest, the continued behaviour by both trusts is not encouraging that honesty, trust and confidence to increase. So the meetings that we're asking for with both trusts is not optional. And that must be extremely clear to both trusts. This is not us asking you to come if you wish to come. This is a mandatory meeting that you will attend. You need to answer to the people that you're feeling within South Down why you have made this decision to neglect them of the care and well-being that they deserve. And if they don't accept that, then the Minister of Health, Robin Swan, needs to step up and turn around and remind them the trust is there to provide care to those that they are there to provide the care to, and not just to pick and choose around Belfast. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you for that, Gareth. Councillor Lewis?
Thanks, Laura. I just want to thank Roisin there and Paddy for bringing these two vitally important motions. I think that first and foremost, I'd like to thank the staff, the healthcare teams that are working within both of those two sites each and every day. All of us are concerned about social distancing, about wearing face masks and making sure we're doing all we can to keep ourselves safe, but yet these staff are going right in to the middle of these hospitals where they know that they will be dealing with potentially people who have COVID, and they are there and they have throughout this whole pandemic provided fantastic healthcare. I spoke with Eamon McGrady about an hour and a half ago, and I would just like to thank him and the Down Community Health Committee and all the work that they've done and the lobbying they've done around Down. Indeed, it is disappointing that we were told one thing by the Trust and now they have reneged on that. I understand about the public, about the national pandemic, about we're in uncertain times, but if you look at hospitals in other parts of the country, indeed, Belfast and such, they aren't being left without any. They're being able to stay open and to cope with the challenges that's been put their way. The minor care unit simply is not good enough for the size of the area that the Down Hospital has to cover. A couple of weeks ago, I was actually shocked to find out that they don't accept children under the age of 5. I have 2. One's just turned 5, and one's...
The Type 45 destroyer, also known as the Dee or Daring.
That is a really concern. Sorry.
Is there okay? Is somebody got their microphone on?
The glass is primarily designed for anti-air.
Councillor Enright? Yeah, okay, thank you. Sorry, right. Councillor Lewis.
No, you're fine. I have 2 kids, 1 5, 1 3, and it's deeply concerning that that minor care unit would not have been able to deal with them had something happened, that I would have had to travel to the Ulster Hospital. So that's effectively us left with no cover within the district. The urgent care centre is a step up from a minor care unit, but it's not what this district needs. It's not what we deserve. And we, as a party group, will certainly be seeking the answers from the health minister. And look, I have said it before, I'll say it again. I am a father. I'm a resident of this district. It doesn't matter which party is that has the health ministry. I want to see what's best for this area and for the Down Hospital.
Thanks very much, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Andrews?
Well, thank you very much. Tonight's news, words just kind of describe the fact that this all will have on so many in our district and beyond. You know, the previous speakers before me have alluded to their thoughts and feelings on such a very important matter to so many. You know, and without a doubt, we're all united as elected representatives. We have stood shoulder to shoulder with the people. We've done it before over the years, and we will continue to do so again, standing up as a united team together for what is right. You know, and what I worry about too is What would the restoration of pre-COVID services to Daisy Hill and the Down? And also a worry too, the treatments for non-COVID ailments and illnesses, you know, in the next of cancer and all, you know, will efforts be made to accelerate the treatments that are due for those, for people who are suffering? I know that there's so much pressure with the pandemic, but we need to look at those as well. You know, on finishing up, you know, thinking about it all, there's a major chunk of the country from outside Saintfield to Newton Hamilton and beyond not having the same level of services that the likes of the Lisburn, Belfast City and the Ulster have, you know, in such short, but then 8 or 9 miles of each other, whereas from, as I said, sort of southeastern part of Northern Ireland, you know, unbelievable. But again, as I say, there's a lot of work to be done, and we'd like to assure the people out there that work will be done and together as a team to fight for and enhance our services. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Tinley?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I want to begin by thanking Councillor Mulgrew for taking the motion on Councillor Brown's amendment and her very powerful personal testimony in relation to that, Chair, and it's a motion that I will support fully. Chairperson, I want to speak primarily about Daisy Hill, because that's the area I'm from, that's the area I'm familiar with, but obviously the same issues pertain to the Down. The direction of travel, Chairperson, over the past good number of years is only going the one way. There is a determination by hook or by crook to downgrade Daisy Hill Hospital. And they try to throw us off course with honeyed words and assurances that never seem to come to pass, Chair. All parties, Chairperson, and indeed independent councillors that met Shane Devlin couldn't question Shane's sincerity in what he wants to do. But the facts speak for themselves, and none of the assurances that were given at any of their meetings, Chair, during this crisis or how we were going to come out of this pandemic have come to pass. So there is a perception out there, Chair, on my fellow councillors, that the people no longer trust the trust. You know, if they're just given assurances, Chairperson, to get us to get through meetings, well then, if that is the case, that is being shockingly disingenuous to elected members, totally disregarding and total disrespect for our MLAs and our MPs, never mind our councillors. So we need to stand, Chair, as one. The people of this district are being sold a pup here. There's no way to dress this up or sugarcoat this, because if we let them away with this, Daisy Hill will be nothing more than a minor injuries unit and a glorified clinic within a short space of time. And this is easily the biggest issue that any of us councillors potentially will deal with in our political lives. I am very, very worried, Chair, that this is Bengoa by the back door, and COVID has been used to camouflage, Councillor Reddy touched on it earlier, their real intentions. And we need to stand as one on this. And we cannot blame Tory cuts. We have a government up in Stormont that is represented by my councillor colleagues here. We need to be banging on those doors and give the resources to where the resources are needed, and let's put Daisy Hill on an upward curve, and indeed the Down Hospital as well. So thanks for indulging me on that, Chair, and well done once again, and my thanks to Councillor Mulgrew. Thank you.
Thank you, Jarvis. Councillor Clark, I think, is in next, and I think then that might be everybody, unless I miss somebody who put something into the message whenever the IT shut down earlier. I'll bring Councillor Clark in before then we'll bring Roisin in to sum up.
Okay. Do you hear me? Yeah. No, it's been a very good debate, and to say that everybody is on a united front. We do see, as Councillor Tenley says, this is the most important issue facing us as elected representatives. It is healthcare, it's A&E, in both the Down and Daisy Hill that we're fighting for. It's totally unacceptable to be notified on the night of the meeting, but it's not surprising because the Trust had done that before in the Legacy Down. It was in the mouth of Christmas when they notified us that A&E was being removed from the Down at weekends. No consultation or anything. We were at a meeting, had a trail them into a meeting, it was near Christmas Eve, to have that discussion. So, as I say, it's totally unacceptable. I think it undermines the partnership working that we're trying to create with the Trust, particularly the South Eastern Trust, because there is a feeling that there is a bad relationship at times between the elected reps and the South Eastern Trust. I thought that was improving. We did buy into what the Trust were saying in regards to restructuring for COVID. We took them at good faith. And I have no doubt there's difficulties with staff. I'm not saying that there's not. There's staff going off it all the time, obviously, and I pay tribute to all the staff and all the frontline staff working in the health system. Doing an amazing job. But as I say, it's just undermining our partnership working arrangements, and particularly in regards to community planning. We really wanted to develop that and allow that partnership. Of our road infrastructure. You know, there are serious issues about people who are going to die. That's the stark reality, where they can't get to their local hospital. And there's a fear of the community because of the pandemic about going to hospitals outside their area, and they're very reluctant to travel in regards to because of the pandemic and the risks associated with that. And that, there's a number of councillors talked about the Down Hospital, and while I agree, you know, what they're proposing is better than minor injuries, but it's not accident emergency in the Down. And the danger is, and I think Councillor Sharma mentioned it, you know, in regards to with the ambulance, when an ambulance has been called, or where you're calling the ambulance, who do you contact in regards to that? And will the Down Hospital be bypassed on a regular basis? That's the issues that the public need to know. That's the issues that, as elected reps, that we need to know. You know, we already have appalling ambulance response times in our area, and the Mourns area is one of the worst response times. You know, so this all compounds, that at times poor service, and it erodes confidence in what the Trust is actually saying. And we're the communicators for the public. We're talking to the Trust, and we're bringing that information back to the public. And we have to have, you know, good, straightforward honesty in regards to any of these decisions. We knew that something like this was being planned along the way. In fact, we had a discussion in some of our meetings, our party meetings and that, there was something on the way, and they were going to camouflage it to something else. So I don't want to hold the meeting up any longer. I just want to say that, you know, the South Eastern Trust, they do need to, they're slightly acting in bad faith. They need to inform us how this is going to work. They should have came to us as a council and explained how this new service in the Down was going to work and how it was going to operate. That didn't happen. And as I said, it's no reflection on the staff in the front line, but we need to be informed of what's happening, not for half an hour before a meeting. That's just not acceptable. So we'll leave it there, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Can I hand back then to Roisin to sum up?
Thank you very much, Chair. I appreciate everybody's comments, and as we have all said, you know, this is not an issue that any one of us has any right to grandstand on. You know, it's an issue that affects our entire community. And when you look at the size of this council and the fact that the greatest percentage of our population is now at a huge disadvantage in terms of their health care, you know, I welcome the comments. Also the fact that everybody has talked about, you know, how we have tried to go over and above in terms of building good relations with our trust and building confidence in our trust. You know, and as I say, we have the Pathfinders and the South Down Health Committee and so many others that have gone really over and above to try to support the trusts. Staff morale has undoubtedly really been dealt an awful blow, and again, even in the Southern Trust, the whole confusion with our staff recently about should they be tested or should they not be tested because they have the appropriate PPE. You know, I mean, it's an awful way to make you feel that you're not really worth something, you know. And, you know, staff have been very, very concerned, and the mixed messaging, and you know, I really feel at this stage the deliberate misleading messaging, you know, something's opening, it's not opening. Well, it is opening, but we're going to remove something else, and it's just simply not acceptable. I think, you know, the original motion, you know, obviously, as I say, I submitted it 3 weeks ago because I knew, and you know, talking to party colleagues, we really felt that both in Daisy Hill and the Down that something else was coming, and that has come to fruition. So what I would suggest, if everyone is happy, that, you know, the message from us all is that there needs to be an emergency meeting held with both of our trusts, and that they need to come here and tell us what is the situation and what their plans are. And more importantly, they need to be coming in here and listening to us when we say that they cannot cut our services. You know, it simply is life and death. We already have the figures from hospitals saying that people during this pandemic with strokes, heart attacks, sepsis, other life-threatening disease illnesses have not been going to hospital because of fear. You add fear and lack of services, and people will die. There's no question of that. People are going to die. So I think we need to have that emergency meeting. And I would ask that if Marie can inform us as soon as possible when that meeting is, and give every councillor the opportunity to put their questions to the trusts, because it's very clear from here and our community that this is something we simply cannot allow, and we will not allow our trusts to hide under the cover of COVID, because that is what they are doing. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Mulgrew, thanks very much. That's always that motion then is carried. If we can move on then, well, just before moving on, I know that Councillor Brown had tabled an emergency notice and motion for the end of the agenda. Councillor Brown, in light of all the discussions so far, would you be content to withdraw that motion?
Yes, given that that's been subsumed into the previous motion, I'm happy enough to withdraw that.
Councillor Brown, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear Councillor Brown,
Sorry about that, I had a problem with speakers there.
Thank you,
you're content with that. Sorry, my speakers have been down there.
Okay, no problem. Okay. I wonder what's going on there. Yeah, okay. That's Grand Orchard.
Apologies, thanks very much. Okay, so we move on to the next item, which is item number 19, is a notice of motion from Councillor O'Meara on fracking. Barry, go on ahead there.
Yep, thanks a million. So this notice of motion reads, this council, recognising we are in a climate emergency and being aware of the environmental damage caused by fracking and all forms of exploration and extraction of fossil fuels, calls on the Minister for the Economy to place an immediate moratorium on all licences, and further calls on the Minister for Infrastructure to urgently implement changes to deny permitted development rights to any company seeking to prospect for oil and or gas. Akarja, we are currently in the midst of severe and existential climate and biodiversity crises. A surge in CO2 emissions since the Industrial Revolution, catalysed by the greenhouse effect, has sent global temperatures rising, resulting in melting ice caps, rising sea levels, habitat destruction, desertification and acidification of the ocean. The Assembly has also passed a motion declaring a climate emergency, which binds the Assembly to the principles of a just transition to tackle climate breakdown and social injustice in tandem. It also commits the Assembly to UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, global warming limit of 1.5 degrees Celsius. We are already at 1 degree, according to the IPCC, and some fear the feedback loop of CO2 already released into the atmosphere means we have already missed the 1.5 degree target. All this demands an urgent and radical programme of action against the exploration, extraction and production of any further fossil fuels. Put simply, if 2/3 of all proven fossil fuel reserves in the world were to be extracted and burned, we would exceed IPCC warming targets of 1.5 degrees easily.
Farrell, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to check and see. I think Marie's thinking possibly we might have lost some members again in terms of the IT. Can you mind just holding fast there for a wee second? And maybe Donna, would you be content or Sarah to do a wee roll call there?
No problem. I don't mind doing it. Yes, no problem, Chair.
Thanks. Sorry, Barra. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Andrews?
I am here.
Councillor Brown?
Here.
Councillor who?
Councillor Burgess?
I'm here, but it's breaking up very badly, and I've never seen this bad.
Okay. What about Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Councillor Casey?
Yeah, I'm here.
Councillor Clark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Councillor Kern? Hello, Councillor Kern?
Yeah, hearing you now.
Okay, are you having problems? Okay, Chair, you can hear okay. Councillor
yeah.
Jones?
Thanks, Donna.
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Councillor Enright? Councillor Enright?
Tom.
Okay, Councillor Enright? Okay. Councillor Finnegan?
Yes.
Oh, Councillor yeah, Gallagher?
Yeah. Yes, here.
Councillor Gibbons?
Yeah, here, yeah.
Councillor Hanlon?
Oh, yes, sorry, yeah.
Councillor Hanlon, apology. Councillor Hart?
Yeah.
Councillor Hoyle?
Yeah.
Councillor Larkin?
Yes, I'm here.
Councillor Lewis?
I'm here.
Councillor McGuinness?
Yeah, I'm here.
Councillor Malone? He's left the meeting. Councillor Mason?
Yep.
Councillor McAteer?
Control.
Councillor McAvoy?
She's having problems. Okay. She's yeah. on the IT there.
Okay. Councillor McKee?
Sure.
Councillor McKevitt?
Yep.
Councillor McMurray?
Yes, present.
Councillor Mulgrew? Hello, Councillor Mulgrew?
Yes, sorry, yep.
Super. Councillor Murphy?
I'm sure.
Councillor Owen?
I'm here.
Councillor O'Hare?
I'm sure.
Councillor O'Mara?
I'm sure.
Councillor Riley? Hello, Councillor Riley?
No, it's not Sean. Okay. Councillor Riley isn't Sean in the
room.
Yeah, I'm here.
Councillor Savage?
Yeah, I'm here.
Councillor Sharvin?
Yep, I'm here.
Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, here.
Councillor Taylor?
Yes, here, yep.
Councillor Tennelly?
Yes, here.
Councillor Walker?
Councillor Walker's left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apologies for that, yeah. Chair. What's happening is we're watching the attendees and participants, and a lot of them were going white, and that generally indicates that we're losing the members. And just with the earlier dropout, we didn't want to notice a motion to continue without all members being available. So apologies for that, Chair, again.
That's fine. Thank you, Marie and Barra. Mm-hmm. Apologies, I cut you off there mid-flow. If you want to just try and pick off where you left off there.
Yeah, I know exactly where I was here.
Look, thank you. Cheers.
Thanks a million. Look, so in other words, full use of existing reserves, never mind the issuing of licences to search for more carbon-based fuels, would create catastrophic and irreversible change to our climate and damage to the natural environment. This is a broader climate background. Fracking in particular is dangerous. It is environmentally invasive and destructive in procedure. And there is widespread public opposition to this process. Just last year, on the 4th of September in 2019 in Silverbridge, there was a public meeting which several of the Slieve Gullion councillors attended, and it gave birth to a committee known as Save Our South Armagh, and that was a very single focus group that was determined to not allow gold mining and fracking to take place in Slieve Gullion and within the Ring of Gullion in South Armagh. We were given a presentation at that by a group called Save Our Sparrows, who have been involved in an ongoing campaign to stop the mining for gold, the dredging of Loch Ness, rivers and lakes, etc., in counties Tyrone and Derry and that. On the 20th of December, we saw a sinkhole open up in Maharaclune, County Monaghan, a sinkhole that was 9 metres wide and 35 metres away from the main road. The land was owned by Gyprock, who were a company who were mining in the area at that time. There's no care given for land, water, wildlife, plant life or communities. I'm conscious Terry Hardy had a very similar motion on the 7th of November last year. The purpose of his motion was to stop fracking in South Armagh, to stop it from ever happening. But this is a wider motion calling for a moratorium on licences. And, so thanks a million. That's my motion.
Thanks, Barra. Who was second in your motion? Do you have somebody? Oh, Mark Evans. Yep. Okay, Mark, do you want to speak or are you content?
No, you're okay, Ger. Go on ahead. I know we're pushed for time. It's okay.
Perfect, Mark. Thank you very much. Okay, Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Ger, I'll keep it very brief. Conscious of time also. Certainly, we have been supporting the motion. We've been on record as a party has been opposed to fracking, and particularly there's no evidence at this stage to prove that it doesn't have an impact on the environment. We recognise that we are in an emergency and that the environment affects everybody, and we simply cannot sit back and wait. You know, we also need to take action now. And certainly as a party, we're committed to achieving a net zero carbon economy as soon as possible, and at the very least by 2035. So certainly, with no issue with the motion, we're certainly very happy to support it.
Thank you, David. Councillor McKevitt.
Thank you very much, Chair. I too am supporting the motion, but I'm looking on the announcement from Minister Mallon today that we amend it slightly, if that's going to be accepted, just where the motion ends and further calls to the Minister for Infrastructure. We request that we could welcome the Minister's announcement today it's her intention to remove the permitted development rights for the petroleum exploration of the oil and gas. I think in the motion itself it did talk about the permitted development, and for it to be taken away today is a great announcement in my mind, and Minister Mann has to be congratulated on that. So if they would accept that amendment, it'd be great, because I think the last part of it's nil and void now that announcement has been made. But the fracking is already banned in the Republic of Ireland, and there is a presumption against it in Northern Ireland's planning laws. And by the announcement today, it means that anybody that's looking to do any drilling except for gas or fuels and that will need to plan a planning application. And just a reminder as well, for any ministers that have to be mindful of their department's responsibility to ensure that the environment is protected at all times and that full consideration is given to any likely significant environmental impacts of any proposal. So, I mean, I think ministers need reminders of that as well. But just to welcome the motion, but I would appreciate in great faith that the amendment would be accepted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Barra, would you be willing to accept that amendment?
Sure, I'd be willing to accept the amendment if somebody could send me where I can find that announcement. I haven't seen that announcement myself today. I got sent an email from the Save Our Sparrows group that 3 days ago they were shocked to hear that the Department for Infrastructure had granted plan approval to continue sand dredging in Loch Ness. That's why that was included in it.
Chairperson, if I can come back out, the Minister, the Minister Nicola Mallon has announced today that it's her intention to remove permitted development rights for the petroleum exploration for the oil and gas industry. That means fracking.
Thanks, Karen. I'd heard that on the radio on the way here as well, to Neri, driving in the car. So, Barra, would you be willing to accept that on that basis? Or
No, it's not a matter of trust. I believe what you're saying. Look, let's hope that in future, motions like these have an impact upon the ministers of the relevant ministers not there, and let's hope that that is the case. Yeah, that's fine then.
Okay, perfect. Apologies, Councillor Brown. I thought that your cue was in relation to me asking about the previous motion. I can bring you in now. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, no bother. I know you're tortured with tech problems tonight, Laura, so I totally understand. No, just to weigh in for our party's support for the motion. There's no doubt we're staring down the barrel of a climate crisis right across the world, and a vital first step there, a vital step we can take, is certainly not to further degrade our environment through the harmful act of fracking. But we also need to get real about investigating renewables and investing in renewables as an alternative. You know, in this council, I'm pleased that we have passed a climate emergency. We have set up climate and sustainability working group. We've supported divestment from fossil fuels. And we pledged to make carbon neutral by, I think it was 2050. Well, we could probably improve on that figure now. But we need to do more. And whilst this motion is a good step, we need to take action locally as well. So I think one thing that we definitely need to start looking at as a council is setting a target for rates income from renewable projects such as wind farms, and creating a strategy to bring investment into the district for these projects. It's incredibly important that we do that as well. So hopefully we can see that coming forward through the relevant bodies over the next few months in council.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. And before I bring in Councillor Owen, just say, I'm sure members have seen there the wee note from Dorina. Dorina's been in contact with the IT department. There seems to be an issue with the Skype platform this evening. So let's see how quickly we can get through the rest of the agenda before we all drop off again.
Laura, would any chance if Marie would ever look into if Leinster House and Stormont can do hybrid full plenary sessions and consideration of what's going on, you know, an emergency, okay. Maybe that should be looked at the next meeting. This connects insufferable.
I know. Tell me about it, Terry. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, Councillor Owen, sorry.
Listen, thank you very much, Chair. I'm totally on the back of the whole climate emergency, definitely putting my scientist head on. It is something that's coming down the road from us. So thank you very much for bringing this motion. It's very timely. Look, I'll keep it short. You're getting the DUP support, no problem whatsoever at all. So Billy, back again. Thanks very much for bringing it.
Thank you, Catherine. Councillor Byrne.
Chair, I came in with my question there just to clarify when Barra was asking about the Minister for Infrastructure, but Karen came back in. Just briefly, when I'm in for 10 or 15 seconds, fully support the motion, as Karen had said, on behalf of our party that Barra has taken. And I just want to touch on the meeting that was in Silver Bridge. Yeah, the frustration in the room that night was palpable, and the frustration was from the ease of getting prospecting licences without us knowing, you know, the process that went through. And I think with the announcement from Nicola Mallon today, that is made a lot more difficult. We need to keep it in the ground. We need to explore renewable energy, because there's no point in us all tripping over each other in manifesto after manifesto across political parties to try and reduce the date at which we're going to achieve carbon neutrality without actually putting these measures in place. So fully support an immediate moratorium on all licences, and welcome the announcement by the Minister today.
Okay, Pete, thank you. Okay, Barry, that's back to you. It all sounds there as if everybody's in support of that motion. Do you want to briefly sum up and then we can move on?
Yeah, thanks a million, and thanks to all the councillors and officials who have tweeted me, messaged me, texted me all Nicola Mallon's statement today. So fair play to you all. You're very much all on the ball. I agree with almost everything that was said here today. In terms of renewable energy, and that, you know, everybody's in support of it. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants a wind farm, but nobody wants a wind farm in their community. There's, you know, we all want a wind farm, say, in every DEA, but when there was a wind farm proposed slap bang in the middle of Newtown Hamilton, everyone in Newtown Hamilton said we don't want it. When it's coming down into the Mourns now, you'll see every councillor will say it's a fantastic thing, but the local councillor from that area will be under extreme pressure from their community that people, the value of people's houses and that, will depreciate if there's a wind farm right beside it. So what I would say straight back to the council officials and that is, be creative. If there's somebody, if you're looking to put a wind farm or something, put it on the side of a mountain, put it in water, put it way out off the coast of Rostrava or somewhere. But fine. Thanks everyone for your support.
Thank you, Barra. Okay, so we'll move on then. That motion's carried. If we move on to the next motion, which is number 20 from Councillor Savage and Stokes regarding the COVID outbreak at Daisy Hill. Michael or Gary, who's going first there?
Yeah, Chair, I'm proposing the motion. I'll read it out. The motion reads, can you hear me okay, Chair?
Can indeed, yep, work away.
Okay. This council notes with concern the recent outbreaks of COVID-19 at Daisy Hill Hospital and Craigavon Area Hospital, and offers our heartfelt sympathies to the families of the bereaved and wishes those from suffering from COVID-19 a full recovery. Council notes that an independent investigation is being carried out into the outbreaks and expresses its full support and admiration for all the staff across the Health and Social Care Service at this difficult time. Council also calls on the Minister for Health and Social and the Southern Health and Social Care Trust to ensure the concerns of the staff, patients and their families are fully addressed and those concerns are central to the investigation. Council welcomes the planned reopening of ED services at Daisy Hill Hospital in the coming days, but requests that the Council Chief Executive writes to the Health Minister and the Chief Executive of the Southern Health and Social Care Trust, seeking assurances that there are no plans as a result of the current pandemic measures to move emergency service, surgery and high dependency from Daisy Hill to Craigavon and daily clinical care from Daisy Hill to South Tyrone and Dungannon. Council requests that the Chief Executive of the Southern Trust comes before the Council to address the concerns of Council and those we represent. Chair, I'm acutely aware that some of this has been predicated by what has been discussed earlier on, but I think this is a matter of transparency, openness and trust with our local trusts. Chair, firstly, I'm sure I echo the sentiments of everyone in this chamber tonight when I offer my heartfelt sympathies to the families of loved ones who have lost their lives throughout this pandemic and offer our best wishes to those who are making a recovery. During the last few weeks, there has been a tangible sense of nervousness and unease in the air in relation to how COVID-19 has impacted on our local hospitals at Daisy Hill, The Down and Craigavon. Unease that information from senior trust management that we as a community needed was slow in coming and at times not that reassuring. I believe had it not been for my party colleague, Justin McNulty, MLA, pushing as hard as he did and expressing the concerns of patients, their families and hospital staff, we may well have been none the wiser as to the extent of the impact COVID-19 was having, particularly on Daisy Hill. At this time, transparency and openness to the truth are critical for patients, their families and staff at the front line who are going well beyond the call of duty and in some cases laying their own lives potentially on the line to maintain the fight against this unforgiving and ruthless virus. Those staff were left in a position where they came to their elected representatives as they felt they had no choice. They were frightened in some cases to go into work, given the threat that they faced on the front line every day, but they were also frightened to speak up. Fortunately, after several days of pressing, the Trust outlined the extent of the virus's impact on Daisy Hill and Craigavon, laid the difficult statistics bare, statistics behind which are grieving families seeking answers and families anxiously waiting and praying that their loved ones pull through. And finally, the Trust began a comprehensive testing of all staff, many of them deeply concerned, who were in contact with staff and patients who tested positive. A senior and well-respected health correspondent expressed anger and disgust to me at how the Trust had handled the issue. I had thought, Chair, that the painful experience of the last few weeks would have provided the platform for lessons to be learned by the Trust in relation to its attitude to openness and transparency. However, just over a week later, further reports began to emanate from concerned staff at Daisy Hill that proposals are being drawn up to move emergency or acute surgery from Daisy Hill to Craigavon within days of the long-anticipated return of the emergency department at our hospital in Uri. If this is true, a major potential blow to the status of Daisy Hill Hospital is being planned by the Trust behind the backs of the people it's meant to serve, its patients. Where is the public consultation on this move? Where is the engagement with public representatives and community leaders to explain the need for such a move, temporary or otherwise? As yet, it hasn't happened, and I hope that's because the rumours and reports are unfounded, though I don't believe that they are unfounded. It is just crazy to think that a city hospital can be left with no emergency surgery in any circumstances, especially given that its immediate hinterland is predominantly rural. Chair, there's only one way to find out and that is to request that the Trust senior management come before an emergency meeting of council and inform us what their plans are for acute surgery at Daisy Hill, and also explain what happened in their handling of and communication around the COVID outbreak in Daisy Hill and Craigavon Area Hospital. And I'm aware that an investigation is ongoing, but I still believe questions can be asked and should be answered in this chamber without prejudice. Chair, I've also heard that there are plans to move daily clinical care for those patients who need blood transfusions, etc., from Daisy Hill to South Tyrone and Dungannon. Again, clarity is needed urgently on this matter also. Chair, I'm sure every member in this chamber is fully aware of the Herculean challenges the management of our trust, and particularly our frontline staff, face at this difficult time. And we are all aware of the massive challenges our health service faces as we approach one of the most difficult winters in living memory. But if we're really all in this together, then bring us with you and do not use the pandemic as a cloak under which to cut other vital services from the people of Newry, Mourne and Down. The people of this district have played their part in fighting this pandemic. We agreed at the start of this pandemic with the need to close Daisy Hill and Down ED temporarily when the virus was raging, and medical experts were finding their way on how best to fight it and minimise the death rate. But, Chair, the goodwill of the people of this district is now being pushed to the limit. Questions need answered and assurances must now mean something. Rowing back on promises to our people is not good enough. The announcement tonight on the Down Hospital is yet another example of our people being let down. As elected representatives, we shouldn't have to make public statements to encourage open and transparent engagement from the Trust and the Department of Health at this time of crisis. That is why, Chair, I echo the calls that have been made earlier in the hospital motions earlier on tonight, and I ask the Chief Executive to write to the Chief Executive of the Southern Trust and the Southern Trust and the Southeastern Trust and to the Health Minister, seeking clarity on these issues, and request that the Trust's senior management, including the Chief Executives, attend an emergency meeting to Council to address these very serious and potentially far-reaching concerns. As a community, we have a real battle on our hands with COVID-19, and we are all prepared to fight that fight, but we are getting tired of the constant tug of war and trying to maintain and enhance the fantastic services with brilliant staff that we have at the Daisy Hill and Down Hospitals. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Savage. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I mean, I'm conscious of the hour. I mean, there's been a lot talked about this in Michael's court. Just informally stacking in, Chair, if I could just say two things. It's only, Chair, Laura, when you actually have to drive past on a dark winter's night, when people have to do a drive past Daisy Hill Hospital and then make that journey up that road, windy road, through Queen's Pass, Tanragee and on up Border Down to Craigavon. The journey time, you know, it's an hour up and an hour back on a dark winter's night, and it's a very dangerous road. And certainly, having done it, really experienced it this last winter, anybody who has to go through it, it's not a pleasant experience. Not a pleasant experience for any of the patients that have to go further away from home than they would need to if Daisy Hill was able to put them up. But the second thing, Chair, and we have health staff or on our council, Chair, but most of us have friends and family who work within the health service. I mean, locally, these are the individuals who had to go on strike back in January. If you remember back, cast your mind back, to get fair pay. And having just attained that, they faced the lockdown and the first wave. And now as we go into winter, they're getting ready for, or already experiencing the second wave. So, Chair, we have a duty as elected reps to put our arms around them, metaphorically, our health staff, and really support them, Chair, and let them know we're there for them. Across all our elected reps, MLAs, MPs, councillors, to let them know we're there to support them. Because at this time, Chair, they really need it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Stokes. Councillor O'Mara?
Yeah, Chair, thanks, Marion. Just wanted to take the opportunity, I suppose, just to pay respects to all those people who battled through COVID and who lost their lives in COVID, and that are frontline workers throughout the whole crisis. Not there, and that's so I would have thought that the motion was going to be centrally about. Not, I assume he doesn't want a second meeting with the chief executives of the trust. It's probably the same meeting, is it?
Yes, sir. I said that at the start, that it may well have been covering off of both bases. So, yes,
okay. Thank you. Councillor Taylor, you're in next, sir.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, just wanted to offer the support of my party for the motion brought forward tonight. Could I offer my condolences to those families that have been affected by the COVID-19 outbreak, and in fact, all families that have been affected by COVID in the district. It has been mentioned in the motion. The Minister has initiated an investigation into this, and I certainly, whilst it won't address the hurt and the pain that is felt by the families, I certainly hope that the right answers are found to what has went wrong, and that lessons do be learned, you know, from what's happened here. There's been quite a bit already said in terms of, you know, the health provision within the area regarding following on from the Roisin's motion, and certainly, you know, again, we do need an urgent meeting with the health trust chief executives and, you know, find that. And again, it's been said already, I want to pay tribute to all the frontline health staff. They've endured an enormous amount over the recent months, and it's a difficult task anyway, even in more normal times, but certainly what they've endured over recent months, we can only admire them more than we did before even, and I want to pay tribute to everything that they have done for us as a community. So again, listen, we're happy to support the motion, and, you know, hope certainly that we get a positive response from the chief executives regarding the request for a meeting.
Thank you, David. Councillor Owen.
Hi, listen, I just want to keep it fairly brief. I have to be obviously quite careful what I say because I have worked in Craigavon, although I'm not working there now, just to be clear. But that said, certainly, yeah, we're more than happy to get behind this and support this motion. There's no issue. What the staff have gone through during COVID is very difficult. I stepped out of nursing for a long number of years and then returned to nursing in order to help in the COVID wards. It was very, very difficult, and it will stay with me forever. It is a privilege and an honour to do what I did at the time that I did it. These staff, though, don't have the same luxury that I had in the sense of being able to turn off the tap and to be able to do something else. They need our support. I hope that they get the proper investigation that they do have. The families of the loved ones that have passed away, I hope that they get the answers that they need as well. And I hope as well that the surrounding, the constituents and things like that that attend the hospitals get the support that they need, and that services get resumed. It has affected me, you know, as someone, like I say, who had been out of it for a while and then without really thinking about it, step back in again. It's going to take me a while to get over what I saw and what I had to deal with. So I just hope that everybody can get the support that they need. And yes, thank you very much for bringing this motion. Cheers.
Thank you very much for that, Catherine. Councillor Mulgrew.
Yeah, I suppose really I'm just going to echo the comments that have been made previously. I think certainly what's coming out of today's meeting is that the Trust have a lot of questions to ask. And while we appreciate, you know, initially this was, you know, the great unknown, as time has gone on and testing became important, I do feel that they have let staff down. And I know I have a sister who works in the Royal Lancashire in England, which is the busiest emergency department in England. And, you know, all during that hot weather, you know, when she talked about, you know, the PPE and how uncomfortable it was, and, you know, coming out and having like bruising on her cheekbones with the mask because they had to be so tight, and, you know, and in fact, you know, she has actually been off now on four occasions because members of her team have tested positive, although she herself has so far not got COVID. But when you're living under that pressure all the time, it is incredibly difficult. And, you know, for a death in any family is a tragedy, and of course our sympathies go to everyone affected by COVID-19. But yeah, I think the more we go on with today's meeting, the more apparent it is that we need this meeting with the Trust, and they need to come here, you know, in good faith, and they need to come prepared to answer questions. You know, this isn't a friendly meeting. It's not obviously to antagonise them, but certainly they need to be coming with answers to our questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Roisin. Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, Chair, just very briefly, I too want to offer my support to Councillor Savage's motion, and, you know, just to say I'm in full agreement that it is a follow-on and indeed an add-on to Councillor Mulgrew's motion earlier. The thought just went through my head there as Councillor Salvage was reading the motion out, Chair. I'm 51 years of age, and up until 6 weeks ago, I don't think I had ever been in the hospital in Dungannon in my life, and I've been in it twice in the past 6 weeks with family members for different appointments, and one was in the fracture unit. So I'm just want to give testament to or give witness to the fact that our fears are coming to bear, and we need to just to reinforce the point I made earlier. We need to stand as one to resist these changes that the thrusts are determined to deliver upon us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jarlath. Can I then hand up back to Councillor Savage then to sum up, please?
Yes, Chair, can you hear me?
Yep, I can indeed. Go on ahead.
No, Chair, just I'm happy to finish up. The bottom line from all this is that in relation to those families who went through the horror of losing loved ones, they want questions answered. And I know that the investigation is set up to do that. I think those families need to know that we're fully behind them. We support them in their search for the truth and the answers that they're looking for. And we also need to ensure that going forward that we get that openness and transparency from the trusts that represent the patients and the people that we represent in this area. No longer are we going to tolerate bluff, cloak and dagger approach and smokescreen. That's not what our people put us here to put up with, and we're not going to put up with it. And the message has to go loud and clear back to the chief executives of the trusts, and hopefully our colleagues who have immediate access through their party to the health minister will seek reassurances and send that message loud and clear that he needs to hold these trusts to account. There needs to be a strategy that ensures at the south-east corner of Northern Ireland the people that we represent have equal access to healthcare, and that their needs from a health perspective are looked after, and that we are not treated as second-class citizens, and we're not going to tolerate it any longer. So, Chair, that's what I'd like to sum up on that, and I thank the colleagues right across the chamber for their support. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So everybody seems to be in support of that motion, so that their motion is carried. Before we proceed on to the next item, I'm going to bring Marie in here as Chief Executive.
Yeah, Chair, apologies, and this is not relating to the notice of the motion. Whilst the notice of the motion has been going on, we've been working vigorously in the background to establish that we have members all connected. We have, as Drina put up earlier on, an issue with the Skype platform tonight. So if members could just, I suppose, bear with us while we do a further roll call. We also want to stop the recording to make sure it's saving and start the re-recording again. So if you could bear with us just for a few minutes as we do that, we just want to make sure the integrity of the recording and the meeting is okay. So, Donna, apologies. Can I get you to do a roll call again for me?
Not a problem. Okay. Councillor Andrews?
Here.
Councillor Bly?
Here.
Councillor Burgess?
Still here.
Councillor Byrne?
Here.
Councillor Casey?
Tell you, Shaw.
Councillor Clark?
Here.
Councillor Kern?
Here.
Councillor Devlin?
Here.
Councillor Dorn?
Here.
Councillor Enright? Councillor Enright?
No, Councillor Enright's not in the call.
Okay. Councillor Finnegan's gone. Councillor Gallagher?
Yep, here.
Councillor Gibbons?
Here, yep.
Councillor Hanlon?
Oh, yes.
Super. Councillor Hamilton, apology. Councillor Hart?
Yeah.
Councillor Hoyle?
Here.
Councillor Larkin?
Yes, I'm here.
Councillor Lewis?
Yeah, I'm here.
Councillor McGuinness?
Yeah.
Councillor Malone's gone. Councillor Mason?
Here.
Councillor McAteer?
On show.
Councillor McAfoy? Isn't on. Or is Councillor McKee's left? Councillor McKevitt?
Here.
Councillor McMurray?
Here, yep.
Thank you. Councillor Mulgrew?
Here.
Councillor Murphy?
Thanks, sir.
Councillor Owen?
Still here.
Councillor O'Hare?
Thanks, sir.
Councillor Murray?
Thanks, sir.
Councillor Riley's gone. Councillor Rowan? Here. Oh, you're still there. Apologies, Councillor Riley.
I go back in there.
Councillor Rowan?
Yeah, just about.
Thank you. Councillor Savage?
Here, yeah.
Councillor Sharpen has left. Councillor Stokes?
Yes, Chair, I'm here, but I'm going to have to go, so I wish you all a very good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, here.
Councillor Tinnelly?
Yes, here.
Councillor Trainor's not, and Councillor Walker's gone. That's everybody.
Okay, and Chair, can we just ask Sarah to just stop the recording and check, Sarah, if it's saving for us?
So Donna and Tricia, I think yous are recording, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll do that now.
We just want to stop them.
Everything ready so that we can do the remaining two notice of motion.
Okay, thank you for every sort of effort. So if we move on, then I think the next notice of motion is number 21, which is from Councillor Clark. It's been, as per standing orders, been referred to Equality and Good Relations. But Councillor Clark, if you're happy to read it out and name who seconded it, then we can move on.
Yeah, I suppose to say it out, I'm disappointed the motion wasn't taken at full council. It's such an important motion, Laura, in regards to racism. I wanted, you know, a message of solidarity to go to all ethnic groups, you know, who face discrimination. And I wanted all the political parties to sign up to that. Now, they send it to the Good Relations Forum. We're not going to get that. So, and I'm just putting that record, but I respect your ruling as chairperson. Just get on to read the motion in then. That this council recognises that racism is a scourge across this society. The council further recognises the positive contribution made to society by those from black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds, deplores the discrimination of black, Asian and minority ethnic communities faces regularly, condemns racism in all its forms, calls on this council to work together with the sector, local BAME representative groups, schools and colleges, private businesses and public enterprises to ensure that this council area becomes a racism-free zone. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Can you name who seconded the motion?
Yeah, I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. I've been deferred then to your Equality and Good Relations. The reason for doing that was I've been advised that there's quite a piece of work going on for Equality and Good Relations in respect of racism, so I'm looking forward that way, but thank you. We're going to move on into item number 22, which is from Councillor Byrne, a notice of motion regarding COVID prevention medicine. Pete?
Yep, thanks, Chair. Thanks. So the motion reads, Council affirms its support for the wearing of face coverings and hand sanitising as the first line of defence against COVID-19. Furthermore, condemns attempts by politicians and other high-profile members of the public to undermine the COVID prevention messaging by the Department of Health. And I suppose, in its simplicity in the message, quite an apt motion to follow up on, given all the conversation that's happened tonight. And we can go into the more complex issues in health, but as we've seen since March and April, right through the first lockdown and through the summer, and the level of complacency that is creeping in among all communities now, that it's a simple, basic messaging that is not only being overcomplicated or ignored by large members or large sections of the community, but it's, sorry, there's something beeping in my ear there going through the whole time. Is it in yours as well, no?
No, I can't hear that.
That beepens whenever somebody goes into the instant messaging.
All I can hear is it sounded like a tune. That the basic messaging is completely lost. And I mean, in every thing that we do in life, when we overcomplicate things, we need to take a step back. We need to take stock of where we're at, and we need to go back to the basics. And that happens no matter whether in your workplace or in sport or you are trying to put out health messaging. I mean, all you have to do is go on social media now, speak to people in our communities. And yes, I understand that people are getting frustrated because it is as going through this pandemic, it's not easy. But people are actually leaving the basic messaging to one side, overcomplicating it, and starting to talk about different conspiracies. I mean, we're now moving to not even wearing face masks and washing your hands. That's a load of old tosh, and we're moving to, this is all about a cashless economy. This is all about controlling the population. This is all about reducing your immunity to certain diseases through the mask wearing. And we've all got it as councillors. We've got it right across the district. when we're trying to promote the basic messaging, people aren't listening. And you know what? Right now we're paying the price for it. We can't go into any shop or any business around the district without seeing large sections of the community not complying to the simple basics. And yes, when we're all quite opinionated as councillors, we're all, you know, people in the community are opinionated as well and can form their opinions. But as Colm Eastwood said last Thursday on The View, this is not a time for everybody becoming experts and question what we're asked to do. We have to be led and by the experts. We have to listen to the health advice that's coming out from those that are in positions to give out the health advice. And we have to act on it, because in a pandemic, we're trying to protect the most vulnerable in our society, and we all have vulnerable people in our families. So we're in an era now where people read a tweet and they've become experts on every single topic that we're talking about. And I think, believe that it is getting so out of control that the basic messaging is completely lost. Now, I'll put my hands up and say I'm not a health expert, and there's people in this committee, people in this council, that have more experience in health than I have. But I am very familiar with the STAR model, and it's the mathematical modelling that is used for the figures in predicting where we're going in a pandemic. So when you're talking about the susceptibles, the infected and the recovered, and when I look at stats coming through, the numbers are scary. The numbers across the last week in Newry, Moore and Down are quite scary. We've had a third of all our total cases in 7 days. And by Friday, we had a sixth of our cases within 24 hours. That has doubled 2 days later. So we need to get back to the simple messaging of promoting face masks. And we get people saying to us all that it's probably one of the most contentious piece of advice that we've been given out, because you can really split opinion with people out there on it. But it's actually, I can see it's having an effect on a number of different sections of the community. And one of them that I spoke very, very at long periods over the week with was parents and kids getting on the school bus. And we had a meeting with TransLink last week, where we talked about zero compliance on the school buses. When kids get on, they were wearing masks, but when they're on the journey, they're taking the masks off. And I spoke to parents on the square across Midland, and I watched this happen a number of times, and I spoke to the kids that I tutor as well and asked them why they're doing it. And they're saying that the messaging of the face masks is being mocked, that when they're getting on, that certain kids are sitting on the bus at the start taking off their masks, and then they feel sort of indirectly that they must take it off as well. And I felt that it was really, really important that we have to get out and shout from the rooftops and use our platform as public reps to constantly just reiterate and preach the public messaging of the simple basics, because it helps people like that right through our communities. So we need to take the politics out of it. I know in the motion we're talking about condemning attempts by other politicians and high-profile members of the public for undermining the health advice. Thankfully, that hasn't happened in this district, and I don't want to politicise this at all, because nobody in this district has went against the health advice in any dramatic way that would cause much concern. But we must all come together and say as a council formally right now, as we're going into a second lockdown, that these two basic principles are the foundations that will hold up the entire health messaging. That will be expanded on surely, but if we lose this, we lose everything else. And the time for questions and questioning how we got to a second lockdown and how the cases had increased and how numbers in cases went missing in certain places as well, that will come afterwards. But we must use our platform as public reps. We got into this job to try and represent and help our community to push this health messaging at every opportunity. So formally, the council needs to put it on record that we stand wholeheartedly behind the message from the Department of Health and call out anybody who tries to overcomplicate it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor McKevitt. Are you seconding the motion there?
I am indeed, Chairperson, and just to reiterate what Pete has said, and he spoke about those that about us taking stock, I just want to say that congratulations to the council, because I think it took stock this week with the high rise in numbers that has come across Newry, Moore and Down, where yourself, Laura, has come out with a good strong message on wearing our face coverings and hand sanitising, and just think twice about it. And it's not just to protect ourselves, but it's also to protect those who can't wear the face coverings because of health reasons or and who are exempt to do that. But, you know, I have three children working in the health service, and they're in PPE all day at work, full PPE all day at work for 13-hour shifts. And I tell you, you know, Catherine had spoke about it earlier, Councillor Owen has spoke about it earlier, about, you know, the impact that it has on you. And I have to say, like, for to walk into a shop and to come back out of it wearing a face mask, yes, if you wear glasses, the steam obvious not, but you know, you can put up with that thought you're going to save a life, and to save the life of those who can't wear their face masks. Hand sanitising and washing their hands again. You know, we have to beat this, and we will beat this. But I have to say again, to take thanks to yourself and the council for coming up with a stronger message this week. And if we can keep pumping that out, hopefully we'll come to the right end of this. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Karen. Councillor Wara?
Yeah, happy to support the motion. It's something we're trying to preach in primary schools as well. You know, the kids that when they're going into a shop and that, it's not compulsory for primary school children to wear a mask, but just to get into the habit of it anyway, that better to be wearing, protecting yourself, and that as well. My eldest daughter goes down the 44 bus down to Laramie every morning and home every evening, and I'm banging the message into her to keep the mask on and tell her mates to keep the mask on as well. So I think it's definitely an important message to get out there, that if our young people can lead by example and show the adults, and certainly in most of the shops that you're going into now, you wouldn't see too many people without a mask on them, and that's to be applauded. So yeah, happy to support.
Thank you, Barra. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yes, we're obviously happy to support the motion as well. We're obviously entering worrying times again with the way and the virus appears to be spreading again within our district and indeed across Northern Ireland. And certainly everything that we can do to reiterate and make clear the messaging that's required, and that people, you know, are committed to ensuring that they do wash their hands, social distance, and wear face coverings where required, that they continue to practice that. Listen, we all see situations where there are people that are disregarding that advice. I make an appeal to them. It's not just for their sake, it's for everybody around them, it's for their loved ones, it's for the vulnerable in the community, it's for everybody in the community. This is the reason we ask people to do that. None of us are experts here in terms of how you deal with this virus. I don't think anybody is really. Everybody's learning and trying to find ways of how we can cope with it. But anything that we can do as civic leaders in the area to try and make sure that people are aware of the message, and then we do all we can to encourage that, we should do it. And everybody should be responsible in the way that they approach us, particularly as elected representatives, particularly those that act as role models within the community in terms of supporting role models or whoever it may be. I would encourage everybody to play their part in making sure that everybody's aware of the messaging, and we all have a small role to play in fighting this virus. But the council itself has been, I think, you know, very proactive over the recent months in terms of the role that it's played in the messaging. And Chair, you know, thank you for the message that you broadcast on Friday evening, following the meeting that we had regarding the concern and rise that has been in figures. So I think people have taken note of that. I think from the reaction there has been on social media, the concerns are starting to, you know, be noted, and I certainly hope that everybody will, you know, react in the way that we want them to react to the messaging that there is there.
Okay, thanks very much for that, David. Thank you. Councillor Owen?
Hi, Alison. Thanks very much. I could quite literally get on my soapbox for hours and rant about this issue, because I am frustrated beyond belief. Pete and I have spoken about this ourselves and in conversations, and the amount of flack I have taken because of my position on masks is unbelievable, you know, and I have stood fast, you know, and as Karen rightly says, I have worn those masks now, not just the ordinary masks, the FFP3 masks, and I have worn them for 13-hour shifts, and they are not fun. You're literally sweating behind them. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to do it. It's not necessarily that we're wearing masks to protect ourselves. We're wearing masks to protect other individuals. And it's us that are the good individuals that actually go and put the masks on that are saving everybody else who then are walking around without wearing their masks. You know, so that's the ironic thing, and that's the message that people aren't actually understand. So by me wearing a mask, I'm protecting that person who wants to be selfish and not wear one. You know, so I totally agree. You know, Pete, I'm on the same page here 100% with Pete. You know, the message needs to be driven home. It makes my heart, you know, bleed whenever I sit there and I see my daughter, who's 13 in January, and my son, who's just turned 17, and there they are, model citizens. Now, am I saying I've done everything right as a parent? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, there they are, the trot off with their masks in their pockets and a way to be model citizens. And there you see these adults, you know, and the children are putting them to shame, you know. So it is something then whenever our children, you know, our teens and our children are actually getting something right and are putting us as adults to shame. Those who are in the political spectrum that undermine the message, I am quite happy to go on record and say that they should be ashamed of themselves. I have no problem turning around and saying that. Draw whatever inferences you want out of that, but I am more than happy to actually go on record to say that that should not be the case. Every last one of us as a political representative, if you're a scientist with so many letters after your name, at the end of the day, which we're not, I'm not, you know, then at the end of the day, we have to follow the advice and those that are much more experienced and qualified, and we have to go along them. I do not know better than them, and I would question anybody that would actually know better than them. So listen, before I rant even longer, I'll leave it be. But yeah, Pete, absolutely 100%. No questions asked. You have my support, but you probably knew that anyway.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Councillor Brown.
Thanks, Chair. And our party will certainly be backing the motion and certainly agree with the messaging of it. I think in particular, you know, I'm very proud of the Council and in particular yourself, Chair, in terms of the leadership that you showed over the last week in a time of crisis. It got fantastic traction on social media, and I think that was a really positive message that we sent out. I do want to ask the proposer why social distancing isn't mentioned in the motion. Maybe there's a reasoning in that. I do think that is part of the essential messaging as well. At the end of the day, whenever this first kicked off, that was really the first thing we were being told, was social distancing and wash your hands. And, you know, to be fair, the masks and the hand sanitizer is there in the motion, and that's great. But I do worry that now people are wearing their masks. They're sort of thinking they're invincible and they can go up to people and forget about social distancing. And where possible, social distancing is still one of the most important defenses. So I'm wondering if the proposer would be willing to consider adding that into the motion.
Thank you, Patrick. Pete, are you willing to accept that amendment? Hello, Councillor Byrne, are you still there? Hello, Pete?
No, Chair, he's dropped off.
Well, he's dropped off. I've just tried to re-add him.
Okay. Look, maybe can we just park that request for the time being, Patrick, and I'll come back to it whenever Pete comes back in.
He should be back in. He's back in now.
Hi, Pete. Councillor Brown would ask if you could add a slight addition to an amendment to the motion in terms of... do you want to repeat that there, Patrick?
I can probably guess what he's going to say, because when it was sent a motion in, it was saying, is he saying no social distancing?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Take Councillor Brown's addition, yeah.
Okay, Patrick. Then Councillor Lewis?
Hello. Yes, I just want to thank you, Chair, for the work that you've done on this across the weekend, and indeed thank the Council for the very strong and hard-hitting the videos and the graphic that has been up on the Council page across the weekend, and indeed there this afternoon. It's really hitting home, and it's getting out there to people that this is becoming a serious issue again within our district. And you know, you sit as an elected representative and you take the phone calls day in, day and daily from people who have tested positive, for people who are waiting for a test, and you can sense the worry and the anxiety and the anguish in their voices, and indeed those people who have tested positive and are concerned about the fact that they were with their friends or their loved ones. And then you scroll down through Facebook or Twitter and you see people just undermining it by saying it's a conspiracy, it's not real, it's a way to control us. And you know, and half the people who's posting these statuses, they're decent, honourable, they're not stupid people, and you're just left, you're sometimes left looking at the post thinking, you know, can you not see what's going on within this district? Are you not hearing what's going on within this district? So there's definitely a responsibility on all of us within our type of jobs, our roles, to use the office that we have and the standing that we have to encourage people to do all that they can to keep each other safe. And I really am impressed with the work that the council has done has been fantastic.
Okay, Alan, thanks very much for that. Okay, I think that's all the members who indicated they wanted to speak. So, Pete, do you want to sum up?
Yeah, no, not be long summing up. Just thanks, everybody, for their input. And I suppose what this is, and I have spoke at length with Catherine on this topic, and I did want to bring the politics out of it, because it's us as a council have fully been behind the messaging, and we're certainly not part, any of us in this council, right across all parties, are not part of any of the antics that undermine the message right across the north. And when people have asked me, right through the community, like, you're the only one, or there's only a few of you preaching about this. There's only a couple of you out of the 41 preaching about masks, and yous are part of the sheep. Yous all aren't on the same page here. I think it's really important that the council comes out strongly and says that we fully back the basic health messaging, and anything restriction-wise is built on top of those foundations, and that we stand together on this and call out, you know, this tin hat nonsense that goes on, because it's only by standing together and backing the basic messaging that we can build on it. So it's really important to reiterate it, because I have seen that people are losing faith in the basics because they're feeling embarrassed by it and the mockery of it all the time, and that's why the council needs to come out strongly and say, as 41 councillors, we stand behind the health messaging here. So thanks very much for everybody's support.
Absolutely, Peter, couldn't agree more. Okay, members, we've managed to survive and get to the end of the meeting. I do apologise. I know that meeting was really, really challenging for everybody. So thanks to everyone. A special thanks to Democratic Services for all their work in the background there. We'll have to do some investigations to make sure this type of thing doesn't happen again. But I suppose this is our fifth meeting virtually, and the first time that we've had so much disruption, so hopefully we'll maybe take that as a positive out of all the negatives reward this evening. Okay.
Yeah, apologies for that, Chair. Something happened with Skype platform, not ourselves. So we'll see if we can get it resolved for next time. Thank you.